You need something?
No, not exactly.
We'll call to order the meeting, the Board of Supervisors meeting at 8:47 on the clock. We'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall, and it's by observation. Jergens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Thiemann. Consent agenda. The general agenda, approve minutes of meeting held August 5th, 2015. Approve all claims through August 19th, 2015, the amount of $409,225.96. Accept claim number 15080165 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $383, and claim number 15080283 to RL Thiemann Construction in the amount of $38,308.21 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve receiving and placing on file county office inventory reports. Approve fees fee statement from Register of Deeds and Sheriff's Office for the month ending July 2015. Approve petty cash amounts for Sheriff's Office in amount of $1,000, Jail Department of $1,000, County Clerk of $250, Register of Deeds of $150, Assessors of $25, Miscellaneous General of $32,000, and County Court of $250. Approve bonds for various township officials. Approve the Sheriff Office fees for doing fingerprint cards, $10 for the first two and $250 per card thereafter. Approve road department selling supplies such as blades, culverts, etc. at the county's cost to the Gage County Township Boards. Approve utility permit number 1030, Windstream, Nebraska, Inc., replacing 250 feet of cable that is in conflict with future Gage County project, will bore 220 feet, 6 feet below flow line at bridge and trench in 30 feet to tie into existing cable in the southwest and southeast fourth of Section 3, Township 5 North, Range 6 East of Midland. Approve utility permit number 1031, Windstream, Nebraska, Inc., replacing 500 feet of cable that is in conflict with future Gage County project, will bore 440 feet, 6 feet below flow line at bridge and trench in 60 feet to tie into existing cable in the northeast and southeast quarter, Section 18, Township 6 North, Range 7 East of Nemaha. Approve specifications and call for bids for culvert replacement project on the DeWitt Blacktop IN-18 grant.
Scratch that. I did that twice. I was covering that.
Scratch the last one.
That was inventory.
Bids to be opened on September 16, 2015 at 9:15. And the last one, number 14, we scratch.
Well, because it's approving the county inventory.
Yeah, and we had that up there earlier. So 14, the last one there, we'll scratch because that has been listed up above. A few of these things, I'll make a comment here, like number 9 there, the Sheriff's Office fees, and also number 10, the department, our Highway Department selling supplies. Those were recommendations from the auditor, the state auditors. They went through everything here to these. We just did not have on file anywhere that we had approved those as a board to do those things.
And I don't know if there's being more specifics or not, so I guess does that kind of cover what
you need to? Because they, the townships have always been reimbursing us for cost of what we do down there, but we just didn't have that on any record that the board had approved doing that. So, they were okay with doing it. And also number 7 there, those petty cash amounts too there. There again, that's something the auditor suggested that we approve those and have those on record as the board approving those instead of just we know the amounts and they're out there, but this then we have this on record.
Makes sense.
So those three things were recommendations from the auditor. Entertain a motion to approve consent agenda.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Bauman, but discussion on anything else? The two claims will be voted on later. They're listed later. Vote 7-0 to approve. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number, the two claims there for team, Beatrice Lawn Care and Teeman Construction. Beatrice Lawn Care 15080165 in the amount of $383 to Beatrice Lawn Care and 15080283 to RL Teeman in the amount of $38,308.21. And that's for gravel that's been hauled on our township. One. And the first one there, that's Eric's lawn care service. So,
make a motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Durgan, second by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 6 in favor with Teeman abstaining. Committee reports, building and grounds.
Nothing new.
Equalization.
We'll have some more to deal with later.
Yep. Finance, insurance.
I know there was an insurance meeting that I did not attend, and we'll have a budget discussion later.
We did have, was not able to attend those either. We did have, for the employees, we had insurance meetings. How'd those go?
Really good. We had 19 people at the first meeting, I believe 35 at the second meeting, and there were some questions for them, but overall they gave an overview of the insurance and told them to keep up the good work as far as the wellness part of it, that's made a difference on our rates.
Who presented?
Lowell was there and Amber.
Okay, Amber was. Okay, good.
Amber did the updates on things and gave them the current information.
Okay.
Human resources. Nothing, Don?
Nope, nothing.
Okay. Law enforcement, emergency management. I got to find the right paper here then. Does anybody else remember?
There was a lot of personnel items. With regard to people coming and going, that seemed to be the balance of most of what was discussed. And we talked a little bit about budget, which people had more.
And on the new, on the transport van, that new transport van, they're working at installing the transport box. And the annual jail inspection will be coming up the 21st. So that's probably as much as anything.
Do you want one of us there, Jess?
One of you has been pretty good.
What time, you know?
Maybe Gary can stay a couple nights.
Yeah, he'll be there on time.
That way he'll be there and won't miss him. Just volunteering you.
Yeah, if you check in Thursday night, you could sure be there. Yeah,
food's pretty good, and you get health care too. So,
I appreciate it too.
I do have some dental work that needs to be done. That's not a bad idea. The one thing I seen on the list was, I seen all these, but. Investigator Chavez resigning and going to the State Department of Corrections. Was there anything in specific that?
Well, I talked to him. I would try to have interviews before talking about it. He makes a lot of little things, but he won, I think, the pay at some point in time was achieving to make him out.
Yes.
He'd indicated pay was a little less, but it'll be. They have a progressive pay scale that gets up there, so you'll surpass that relatively quick. The benefits are better, obviously, on the state side. And it's a full-time gig for investigations. Here he kind of helps us on the road. If we have to have someone come in, he'll come down and do that. And I just think there's always a concern on existing staff when you have elected officials that they might not work for somebody else. So I'm sure those little things always back their mind, you know. But he's going to stay. I think he's asked to stay part-time because we've put, as you can imagine, thousands of dollars into him for training. And that's just one of those things that you run across. I gave him the raise this year because of some additional duties he's taking on for us. But, you know, you can only do so much to keep people. It's just going to be turnover. I've got add out right now through our academy website, and I think we've got two or three that's applied so far. So hopefully we'll get some experience back in there again.
Road and Bridge.
Okay, Myron, a lot of these items, discussion items we had will be coming in the latter part of the meeting we're having. So Galen and Becky met with FEMA last week, as well as Rod Aided, started going through FEMA tours and all the sites in the county. Galen stated that the minimum repair work, before they even look at it, has to be above $5,000. They will cover 70 to 85% of the cost. So I know he said there's a lot of the places they looked at that said, no, we won't participate. So we'll see how this all ends up.
That's not FEMA. That's the Nebraska Department of Roads and FHWA. Yeah.
Highway, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Federal, okay. Highway. The FEMA up above, that they're touring the sites, and then this other,
okay,
that next line down below, that was a difference. Galen talked quite a bit about
Federal, yeah,
Highway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ace Gravel Pit started pumping again. They supply our townships with gravel, so that's good. There was some damage to that large 95-foot bridge by Claytonia. Mark Minnelli estimated $80,000 to fix it. If we get another large rain, we could lose the bridge, was the statement. So that bridge is in the 6-year plan. And I think at the time, wasn't there an $800,000 estimate to replace that one? Was that the one?
Mark said around $700,000.
$700,000, okay. Talked about traffic on Hickory, the work being done out there and all the traffic that's there. Had discussion on mowing ditches.
certain person got
turned in for not. But anyway, just to clarify it. That law not only pertains to county roads, but also to township roads. I think that's something that people misunderstand.
Did that person that got turned in have a conversation with the person that turned him in?
Not yet. discussion, of course, on budget. That was a large part of it also. We'll talk about that later in the meeting. And basically go back, as it stands right now, there is approximately $3 million in inheritance, $2 million in road and bridge sinking fund, or road repair, the sinking part of it is. So, about it. Anything else, Matt? John?
Irrigation hitting the roads.
There's been complaints on that. Roger said he's going to personally go out and check it out. So,
well, it's about every other year, something happens, and we just reviewed the sheriff's policy dealing with that. It's basically governed by the statute, so the policy's fine, and we'll stick to it.
Yeah. I
think, you know, the media, let these folks know it is serious, and most of the farmers that irrigate understand that they don't want to be out there wasting water and energy,
right.
But the liability issue is what we're all concerned about.
Yep. Other than that, I think that's about it.
Oh, let me just walk.
What? Go ahead.
The only other one I see we got this handout from Galen. Are we going to talk about the armor coating later? John had asked about what roads were armor coated and when. I see we got, I'm assuming that's what this is, Galen?
Yeah.
I didn't have time to really look through it yet, but this kind of gives us an idea. If we look through this, we'll get a better idea what's been armor coated and when versus the overlays.
I think, Matt, you asked. Did you find out about Claytonia there? It looks like Claytonia South.
Yeah, we striped it, right?
It was 10 years ago. Was that in 2004, Claytonia South?
It looks like it, yeah.
So that was 10 years ago, Claytonia South.
Actually, 11 if you're doing your...
Yeah, 11, you're right.
And but it looks like the ones that are more than 7 years. Ellis North is 7 years. And then the 9-year ones is Cortland East and DeWitt East and Claytonia North. And 11 years is North 19th Street, Claytonia South. Going on 12 years is the blacktop going by Southeast Community College. Most of the Holmesville 136 to Blue Springs is at 12 years. 13 years is, I guess those have been done, the rest of the Holmesville Road. 14 years is Lanham Road. The Claytonia Road going north is 15 years. Unless some of those have been done afterwards, but
Claytonia,
I tried to.
Claytonia North had been done up here in 2006.
2006, yes it was. Yes it was. Okay.
Just to, I'm just going back from memory though, but in probably the last 2 years, 2.5 years, you might better go. We've armor coated approximately 75 miles. Yep. So we're fairly aggressive with the armor coating, and there's only so many dollars to go around. So, and then plus the overlays of approximately 30 miles. So if you go back and look at that, you know, that's almost 100 miles that have been touched within the last two and a half years. So, you know, we've done the best we could with the monies we had to spend, so at the time.
And we have been fairly aggressive, but we still got six stretches of road that at least 11 years old, 11 to 14 years old. And I guess the thing is you pay some now or pay a lot later.
And I know in the budget, part of the budget process, I've been going through budget, I think $475,000 for armor coating. So, I mean, that's a proposal again for this year, which would do, well, we're not sure exactly how many miles until you get the bid in, but, you know, that'll do a good stretch of miles again.
Estimated at 29, I think it said. Is that what you had in mind, John? Or?
Well, I would like to see everything that's at least 10 years old get done this year and get those caught up.
How many miles would that be about? Do you have any idea?
Well, let's see. 4.5, 5, 1, about 9, 10, 11. So about, that'd just be about 21 there. And then those that are at 9 years, which would be 10 years next year, would be the Cortland East, which is, what's that, 4 or 5, and the DeWitt. Five. The DeWitt to Claytonia is 8 or 9. Be in that range.
In addition to the 29 that's already proposed?
Depending on how those proposed ones match up with these, but.
And John and I visited a little bit about this kind of offline here about we've got, where did I put that? There are those highway buyback dollars that have to use, and Don and I visited about this too, that have to be used specifically for road projects. And there's a bridge one too, which would be off the table. In the road and bridge sinking, there is $287,000 that are in there. So if we take the 29, and I'm just throwing this out there in the discussion of armor coating, if we take the 29 that's proposed, which we were going to pull out of, we were going to use under the guise of infrastructure expense, inheritance dollars for those, to the tune of $435.
$435.
If we did an additional 10 miles, which would be infrastructure projects, at the estimated $15,000 a mile, that'd be another $150,000 we could use out of road and bridge sinking. Those buyback dollars, we could use $150,000 out of that and make a bigger chunk. And those are sinking fund dollars. Those would be outside of the general obligations as far as tax asking goes in the miscellaneous general fund. It would have to be transferred over. So there are additional dollars out there, and those buyback dollars are specifically for road improvement projects. You know, so I'm looking at Galen to see what his comfort level is there, because that's really kind of his sinking fund that we help him spend. But, you know, there to spread that around and try and use some different funds, we could do an additional, and it'd be 30% more, 33% more than what Galen proposed if we did an additional 10. So, I mean, I just throw that out there. I'm not.
And it looks like those miles would start to get up. I guess the one thing that we probably all should look at is Minnelli's recommendation, his last recommendation, and some of those roads do have an overlay recommendation, you know, versus a armor coating. Over half of what he did there has an overlay recommendation.
We do have a $5 million bond out there we've made one small payment on.
One principal payment.
10-year, we were looking at that again today, and so that's this
year. What is the plan for mill and overlay on stuff? Is that we're going to wait till that bond's paid down completely, a good chunk of it, before we really start milling and overlaying again? I'm sure there was discussion on that ahead of time.
Yeah, and that's where we looked at trying to get some of those bigger segments and get them taken care of, and that's where I think Galen thought about coming, you know, 30 miles of overlay and try to do, you know, X amount a year. But you know, we've touched quite a few with overlay and armor coating, as Terry talked about. So it's, you know.
Part of the discussion is, since we do have the bond that we're paying on, that until that bond's up, we probably won't be somewhat proposing another bond, you know, until that's basically paid up. So any mill and overlay that we're going to be doing, or maybe want to do, or a Hickory Road project or whatever, we're going to have to find that for funding somewhere else in the budget, or in inheritance or sinking or something, or we're going to have to start budgeting for it, which right now we haven't.
That may be more of a case for extra armor coating then too, just to nurse these things through as long as possible. This is a pretty good window. That's 10 years?
It was a 10-year bond, and we paid 1 year on it.
We have,
well, like you've said before, a lot of road got touched, really good prices. I mean, that was probably, I mean, you got as good a prices as you could have hoped for at that time. But now to kind of help these other ones along, maybe that wouldn't hurt too.
The thing about it is, with that Hickory Road, this is my mind, with that Hickory Road standing out there yet, that has to be completed. I hesitate and throw more and more dollars out than we already now. And we've got a proposed $5.8 million budget, you know, proposed. That isn't where it's going to end up. But I think we've got enough on our plate right now myself.
Yeah. And
with that being said, we have to take care of 160 miles of blacktop. I mean, that's a lot of miles.
Yep.
Traffic counts has varied some, and Galen has, and I'll bring that up the next meeting. We've got some traffic counts on certain roads. Rex Adams stated many times, maybe some of these roads, maintenance-wise, will have to be turned back to gravel. So it's just something we can't take care of the whole 160 miles and have them like a super highway all the time. I mean, it's just out of the cards. We got to watch what we're spending here, too, so.
Yeah. And until that time they start to break up, they, you know, should not miss out on their armor coating, is my thoughts. And, you know, the other thing that's, you know, that didn't work well with the bond issue is the third segment of the payment analysis was not completed at that time. In fact, was just completed fairly recently. And therefore, we may not have chosen all the worst roads.
Yeah, and Terry made a good point, too. As long as we're looking at Hickory Road, there probably isn't a lot I call it extra outside the budget inheritance or road and bridge sinking funds that we can allocate to milling and overlaying or whatever. I mean, that's, hate to say it, but milling and overlaying is probably on the back burner for a few years. I mean, there's just, we had a bond issue, we passed it. It was passed, you know, so I mean, that's kind of hard to go back and ask them for another bond issue while we already have that bond issue on there. There's right at $3 million in inheritance and a little over $2 million in road and bridge sinking. But we're also looking at a Hickory Road project, probably roughly $1 million a mile. So, you know, somewhere that, I know there's $600,000 or $700,000 on a line item in the budget, proposed budget for Hickory Road expense. You know, so some of those can be absorbed as we go through the years, but at the same time, knock on wood here, hopefully within a year or so, or we'll get the Hickory Road project started and done, you know. So, and as we get that done, we are staring at some costs there, too, that we know. So in the back of our minds, to do a lot of other things, it's not. I really like the armor coating, though. That's maintenance on these roads, and that John has a good point that anything over 10 years old or 12 years old, we maybe should really be considering. I don't know, you know.
Well, and, you know, make no mistake, we leave a lot of meat on the bone. There's a lot of tax levy out there that's not being collected that is a tax savings to the taxpayers. We can tax the heck out of people if we want to. We can roll back some of the dollars that were given to townships. We can roll back the tax levy authority that we give to fire districts. We can tax the heck out of people and pave every daggum road in this county if we want.
No.
So it's not that we can't go get the dollars. It's that people will tar and feather us if we try it. Yeah. I'm not in favor of that. I think it's a maintenance issue. You talk it around. You kick it around. You do what you can. We can tax the heck out of people. The tax levy's out there. We can go get it. We can put it all in infrastructure projects. They're unrestricted funds. We can go do that.
Yeah.
So I think we try to be miserly about this. We try to be realistic about it. We go through the exercise of understanding this is an ongoing process. We're going to massage this as much as we can, and it's a constant battle. But unless everyone wants to go out there and hit up against the lid and tax the heck out of people and roll back some of the tax levy authority that we've given other bodies, I think we just go slow and we try to hit the roads that we can and allow people to not be overtaxed.
Well, and the other thing that we need to look at is not maintaining them and passing this down the road to somebody else to take care of when they break up because they weren't armor-coated properly at this point in time, and now you're looking at 10 times the expense or putting them back to gravel.
Yeah, at armor-coating, you're looking roughly at $15,000, give or take some a mile, and, you know, mill and overlay, we know we're looking at least $150,000 a mile, and we had some of those miles that were $200,000 a mile, you know. So, yeah, you're right. It's 10% of the cost, and you're hoping to get so many more years out of them then. Does that answer some of your question? Yeah. But if you want to propose that Matt's comment here, that we'd go out and start taxing people more, you go ahead. We'll see if we can vote for that or not.
That's all right. I didn't know what the long-term plan was on that. I was assuming, you know, that's such a big chunk of money and bid off so much at once and got so much work done. I'm sure as you guys went into that, there were discussions what we're going to do in the meantime, how we're going to. And that's where I wonder that maintenance on the roads we have. We aren't going to be able to go out and mill and overlay everything. We aren't going to be able to put stuff into concrete like we'd like to. So then you're back to the maintenance, trying to get the most bang for the buck. Do we increase armor coats, knowing that we aren't going to be able to do the mill and overlays? Like you said, 10% or less cost on that. It's a Band-Aid, but it extends that life. You've got the infrastructure there. Try to maintain it. Try to stretch that lifespan out a little bit.
Matt makes a really good point, though. We could go next year, this year, next year. We could go out there. There is ways in that budget to incorporate. We could go out there and do another 10 miles of mill and overlay at $1.5 million, and we could tax the people for that. I don't think anybody on this board is really looking at doing anything like that. You know, I mean, we're trying to be frugal with the county's money, but yet at the same time keep the roads in good shape.
That's a balancing act. I mean, you've got X number of dollars. How can we get the most out of it?
And I admit some of my statements are somewhat sensationalized, but I think to illustrate that if somebody really, you know, if a group of people really wanted to do that, those dollars are out there.
If some of the school's money back, we'd be able to pave everything.
So. No, but that's a good discussion to have. We have some projects all that we'd like to do here in the next year or 2 years, being Hickory Road and stuff. And I know that's been on this board's agenda for years, and we'd really like to get that done. Now, once that project maybe is done and out of the way, then you start developing a plan to work on some of the other roads.
I think Hickory is a priority for this board at this time. The Road and Bridge Committee has looked at this carefully, and they say, hey, we need to get this done. And we have that taxing authority, but I've seen in the past where people have that ability and they just use it up, and all they do is create difficulty and bad communications with the taxpayers and don't manage the money. We have to manage our money.
Sure.
And I think we're doing the right thing, and we do have inheritance and sinking, and as our budget chairman and the budget committee has recommended, we need to take pieces of that and let's use it the best way we possible can. I think that's what we're doing. We just don't want to get carried away, even if we have the ability to do that.
And somehow, even after Hickory Road is done, if it gets done, you know, we will have mill overlays before the 10 years is up on the bond issue, or they're going back to gravel. And you know, the north 3 miles of the Holmesville Road is as high as traffic as Hickory and carrying as much weight as Hickory.
A lot of weight.
And that road's not going to last another 9 years. I mean, parts of that road is already 30 years old since it was last overlaid, and it's showing it. And
no, I think we realize in the next 9-10 years there are mill and overlay projects that probably will need to be done. It's just how we end up funding them and how we end up allocating some cost or where we take the funding from. Sorry, Patty. Glad you came in when you did. You got in on that. On the agenda, next up, receive and place on file a copy of the valuations for the political subdivisions for 2015.
Need a motion?
Need a motion.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Byers. Patty, do you want to discuss that a little bit?
Basically, these are just the evaluations. They're a little ahead of time because I really didn't have to have them set till tomorrow. I'm hoping everything, especially on the resolution, I had to call a couple counties because when you get to the resolution, Lancaster has to give me their value in order to figure the tax rate, and then Johnson. So I did finally, after I talked to Don, got the Lancaster valued about 2:30 yesterday afternoon. So
photos just came in.
Okay. So this is basically what, now we'll send this out, these valuations out to the political subdivisions now. So then they will submit their budgets, and then we'll do the final levies, and those will be due by October.
And each county's valuation will be
$3,024,269,641
for the 2015 year.
Yep.
And last year, I believe we looked and it was a little over $2.6 billion. What did you have, Matt?
$2 billion.
About a 16% increase, if I figured it right.
15.8. Yep.
For this year. Any other questions or comments? Vote 7-0. And next up, entertain a motion to receive preliminary requests for levy allocations to county board from townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Agricultural Society. And that'll be resolution number what?
That's not the resolution.
That's not really. That is.
You're just receiving these. Is that what you're
We're just receiving this.
Motion to receive.
Okay. And a motion to receive.
Second.
Motion by Bowen, second by Thiemann. Go ahead, Patty. Sorry.
Yeah, there are a few missing out of here. So when there are ones that are missing, then I use last year's request. So that's basically what I did. And when we get to the resolution, I can point that out. So. These had to be turned in by August 1st. So.
And they still haven't turned them in yet for you.
No, so you use last year's request. That's what the resolution reads. And then if their budget comes in a little higher, it's kind of up to the county board. I talk to the auditor's office, you know, and then it's for the final allocation or final levy. It's in October. And generally, as long as they stay under. This never used to be a part of the levy processing when I'm, of course, I've been here 37 years. So this part never used to be until counties started taking over the townships and the fires, because this is never, years ago, we didn't do this particular part of it at all. So that went, I don't know how long that's been going on, probably 10, 15 years now, I suppose. So, but that's just receiving and placing these on file then.
Okay. Comments or questions? If not, vote. 7-0. Now I should turn the page over. Approve or disapprove resolution setting final allocation and levy authority for the following townships, rural fire districts, Gage County Historical Society, and Gage County Agricultural Society.
So moved. 15-14.
Motion.
Second.
Motion by Bauman and seconded by Lytle. Now discussion. I was ahead of myself.
Okay, if there's any questions on these, I think like you'll see the asterisk one, the Ag Society and the Historical Society did ask for a little bit more, but we went down to the allowable tax amount was $135,000. You go down to the bottom of the page there. They did request $139,050, so the tax rate's just a little bit less. Historical, we kept it the same as it was last year. Then you go to the fire districts. Now the MFO, all of those fire districts, the ones that are not up at 3 cents, will have to resubmit a new budget with the amount different than what the request is to get it up to the 3 cents. So that would be Barnston, Odell, Pickerel. And then the townships, basically, with the valuation increased, about the only one that I believe I had to bring back down was Philly. Midland didn't turn one in, so I'm not real sure. They had a sinking fund and a general fund last year. But it's still under the 7.5, so I think that was the only one. Some of these townships in the past had went up, you know, past 7.5 with special elections. But with the valuation increases, they didn't have to go to that amount. So,
that's true.
Anybody has any questions?
Matt?
Just a comment, again, going back and just, again, qualify my comments earlier. We're not reducing anybody's tax levy authority with regard to the fire districts and the townships. But if you go back and you look at the township's request based on their valuations and their allowables, you know, we're leaving tax savings on the table. You look at probably an average here, as I'm just flipping through, is probably about 4 cents. And so there's, you know, the 7.5 cents that's there, that's non-collected. The county's not collecting that. The township's not collecting that. That's a tax savings. Now, granted, that's driven by valuation, and that's a function of the formula that we run there. But if you look at that, that's not taxable. So based on our current valuation, every cent that would be collected by the county would be $300,000 roughly. So there's a to tune of about $1 million being uncollected in certain townships, or from a county standpoint, I shouldn't say townships, that's not correct. That tax levy authority is not being collected by us because we're giving them that 7.5 cents. And they're not collecting that. That's a tax savings. And so before, we can go after that if we want. We can work with the townships and let them know that we're not going to do that. And you can see, based on their valuation,
And we know where most evaluation of the county is now. These are ag-related because they're townships. But, and I'm not advocating that, and you can see by resolution it's going to stay at 7.5. But there is an opportunity of those 7.5 cents that are out there.
I used to set them at 8.5, and we went down to 7.5. But as you continually see the valuations go up, you know, I'm not real, I mean, I'm not proposing anything, but I could see that you could even go down. Of course, I don't know what the valuation's going to do in the future. I mean, something's going to start stabilizing here, I think, to where we don't know.
Philly submitted the request that was at the higher rate, though, at the 7.7.
Yeah, and as far as I know, the only way they can go over the 7.5 cents now, and I don't believe Philly had any type of special election. I drop them down to the 7.5, so they can only have the 66,000 that tax allowable instead of the 68.
They're the only ones close to that, though, aren't they?
Let's see if they, yeah. That used to not be the case, but as the valuations keep increasing, the tax rate comes down. What these townships can do, and some of them have done that, is they have a special election if they want to go over whatever the county board, you know, decides or the county decides. If the township wants to go over, then they have a special election and do that themselves. So, and that has happened in three or four townships, but. Like I say, as the valuations increase, the tax rates have come down. So,
well, right now, Philly's the only one at the 7.5. The next highest one I see is Claytonia, which is almost at 7.698 or whatever.
So everybody else is
lower than
and,
that.
And
it's
that's
quite
per,
a bit lower.
That's per township board request.
Yeah, every township, well, there's a few of them that did submit them. Every township does a preliminary request, and they do that request based on not knowing my valuation yet. So, because August 1st, we don't have our valuation set because we don't get our central.
They are limited by their tax asking, though, so they can only go up 2.5% from their last year's budget unless they have a supermajority vote of their board, which would be all three members, then they can go up 3.5%. So these property tax requests, they're limited to the fact that they can only go up 3.5% a year. That's why you see some of them down here, 29,000, they can only go up 3.5% a year. They're limited by that. If they want to go up more than that, then they need to have that bond issue, what she's talking about. That's why some of them are so low, like, which one was that, 25,000? You know, some of them are way down there. Well, here, Highland Township, they're at 2.2 mil levy. Which is really low. But they're caught because they can't go up more than the 3.5% a year in their budget. And then some of them, like Highland Township, if there's a city in there like Cortland, half of what they collect on for Cortland for township, half of that goes back to the city. So they don't have even that much, actually, the 31,000. They don't even have that much in their budget.
Oh, that's that. There's some of that that comes out of that 31,000.
So that 31,000, whatever would be or come in from the city of Cortland, that valuation, half of that goes back. The township gets to keep half of it, and half of it goes back to that city. But no, Matt, you might be pretty close. I know at one time it was up around 5 here a couple years ago, our average mill levy.
Yeah, I think it was 5.5. I was talking to Doug. I think before I said 5, 5.5.
Yeah.
Looking at these this morning.
But this now is quite a bit lower than that even yet. It's got to be because we only, you know, there's only a few up in the 6 mill levy range anymore.
And the townships that have villages within them, they say at times it's difficult to get levy overrides passed because there's a population majority that's in that, and they're already getting collected on their village taxes. So those folks show up and they vote things down, and so then the rural areas of that township have a hard time improving that infrastructure because they got a group of people.
Highland's had at least two bond issues that haven't passed. They've tried, and because, just as Matt said, there's so many people in the city that kind of control the vote almost, they don't pass it. So.
Well, the valuation's going up so quickly, and if you're limited to 2.5%, I was going to say should commend the township board for keeping their levies low too, though. But if they're limited to 2.5%, there's...
Well, the 3.5. Most of them ask for the 3.5 because they just have...
But they're bumped up against their lid.
Yeah.
That's the thing. They're still stuck there unless...
And they've tried to work with the villages, I think with Claytonia, they went with snow removal, and they tried it so that they developed that relationship so that the citizens in the villages see value to the township presence as well.
Okay, any more discussion? Vote 7-0. We have a timed event at 9:30. Entertain a motion to close, accept, reject, or award bids for rock and gravel.
Make a motion to close bids.
I will. I'll hang on to that.
We have a second?
Second.
A motion by Bauman, second by Hill.
Sure, Joe.
Vote 7-0.
Okay.
You had a green one, didn't you?
I'm not sure what that is.
Another one. Lots of them. Make sure you take notes, man.
Because
me and Terry won't be able to keep track.
I don't know. I assume that they didn't put that this is for the next one.
Well, that's the next one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, two more.
Oosh.
All right.
Okay, this first bid is from Rock On Trucking only from the Alex Pit. These prices range all the way from the Adam Township, all the way from 1045 down to $495. And this is trucking only from the Alex Pit. This once again is crushed rock bid from Rock On Incorporated, trucking only from Weeping Water. I'll just give you the range that I see, depending on location. We're anywhere from $3 a ton, $2.60 a ton. Or $2.60 a ton, yes. All the way to $13.69. Trucking only from Weeping Water.
That was trucking, and one of them was $2.60-something?
Yeah. Rockford Township.
No, this is from Sites Quarry here.
Oh. No wonder. Yeah, good point. Okay, I better redo that. Way to go, Myron.
We wanted to pull it all into that county and then load it up, and Damon can hold up and deliver it after that, yeah.
Okay. Did I do that first one right?
Several of us were in a state of shock over here.
More than one bid there?
Let's look. Well, go ahead and let's do this. All right. Go back and look at it.
Okay, Rock On Trucking only. Rock from Weeping Water. Prices range from $13.69 down to $8.94.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, Rock On Trucking only from Sites Quarry. Here we go. Prices range from $5.55 down to $2.60. Rock On Incorporated Trucking only from Du Bois. $11.60 down to $6.60. Okay, that's that. Let's go back and review that one.
Okay.
Is
I think I made a mistake on that one. Okay, Rock On Trucking from Alex Pitt. That's the one I said. Let's go through it again. 617 all the way to 1045 per ton. Yeah. Rock On Trucking only from the Powell Pit. 495 up to 945. Okay. There are two separate there. Okay. This particular one is from John Niemeyer. Gravel bid for Grant Township fall delivery. Delivered bid price $15.50 per ton. Road gravel origination Columbus, Nebraska or Bellwood, Nebraska. Delivery time fall of 2015. Delivered price $15.50 per ton. A bid for one township. Grant Township. RL Team and Construction. This will be pit price for gravel is $10.25 per ton. This is washed gravel from the Alexander Pit. This would be total cost per ton, I think, delivered, correct? You know? Yep. Okay. Northern Townships, delivered price with trucking range from $20.76 per ton down to $16.50. Southern Townships, $20.48 per ton down to $17.19 per ton. Washed gravel, Alex Pitt. Another bid, Teeman. RL Teeman Construction. This is screened gravel material from the Powell Pit. Delivered cost, Northern Townships, pit price is $10 per ton. Delivered price in the Northern Townships, the high would be $19.43 to a low of $15.50. Southern Townships, the high would be $19.08. To a low price of $15.08. RL Team Construction. Beatrice Concrete. Rock bid. I'll just run through some of the common ones the county uses on the basic the rock itself. Basically, let's just go this way. You're looking at 14.35 per ton, basically on the material that we use, 3/4 inch, inch and a half, that style of rock. The delivered bid from the actual concrete.
Northern townships range from $20.64 per ton to a low of $17.23. Southern townships range in price from $19.50 per ton to a low of $17.07. That would be delivered price. This one is from Consolidated Sand and Gravel. Just basically for a pit price of gravel, $10.25 per ton. Hauling prices range. Northern townships, a high of $20.37 to a low of $15.83. Southern townships, a high of $19.80 to a low of $15.54. Consolidated Sand and Gravel. This is from Worst Gravel. From the Alex Pit? Is that where that's coming from, Jerry? Screen Gravel. I would guess this first one would have been Powell Pit. And this would be, does it say on there?
I don't see it, but Worst Gravel.
Jerry, that washed gravel would be from the Alex Pit.
Alex Pit. And the other is from the Powell Pit? Okay. Okay, pit price on the Worst Gravel, Alex Pit, $10.50 per ton. Delivered prices range from Northern Townships, $21.19 down to $16.95. Southern Townships, $20.48 down to $17.64. This is a bid from Martin Marietta. Just bid on material. I better list these. 1-inch crusher run, $12.25 per ton. 1.5-inch crusher run, $12.25 per ton. 1-inch crushed rock, $14.80. 1.5-inch crushed rock, $14.80. Those are the ones that use. And screenings, $10.50. And riprap, 6 and above, $27.85.
What pit is that from?
Weeping Water, Martin Marietta.
Not Du Bois.
No.
Well, we got two of them here.
I just assumed it was Weeping Water.
There's another one. That's the one I just read. I don't know. It's all on that one page way in the back.
First one was Weeping Water.
This one is from Martin Marietta, Pawnee, Nebraska. Would that be?
Well, I think that is the only one they have there, isn't it? His Du Bois. There's another rock quarry there, but it's not Martin Marietta.
Okay. I'll go down the list.
Well, we should find out. There's a difference.
I don't see it designated any place in here, but you might look through it a little bit. Just says Martin. I'll go through that real quick. Screening 1050, 1.5-inch crusher run 1225, 1-inch crushed rock 1480, 2-inch crushed rock 1480, rip wrap 6-inch and above 2785. Ace Sand and Gravel. Ace Sand and Gravel. Pit price $10.40 per ton. And then there's attached to that rock on hauling bids, total cost. Northern Townships, the high of $18.95 to a low of $15.10. And Southern Townships, a high of $18.60 to a low of $14.60. That would be delivered pice out of the Powell pit with rock on hauling. That it? With that being said, it's going to take Galen a month of Sundays to figure all that out. But
cancel your vacation.
But it is good to have lots of bids.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to refer to the Highway Department for review and consideration at our next meeting.
I'd second that.
Motion by Bowen, second by Lytle, to refer all the bids to the Highway Department. And Galen, I'll have a spreadsheet prepared for us next time. Vote 7-0.
Did well.
And that took long enough. You even went by our next time event. Yeah. 9:45. Close. I need a motion to close, accept, reject, or award bid for 110 DRW 4x2 regular cab chassis cab pickup.
Motion to close all bids.
Second. Motion by Bauman. Second by Jorgens. Vote. 7-0.
How many bids are there?
For the pickup?
Tough decision.
We'll see how many put it in one envelope. There's one envelope.
Okay, this is for a 2016 Ford pickup, 6.2-liter engine. Delivery date, 6 to 10 weeks. 6-speed automatic transmission is standard. Gross vehicle weight, 14,000 pounds. Wheelbase, 165. Oxford White. Name of the company, Beatrice Ford. Okay. The bid price on this unit is $24,958.95. And is that it?
Two. The one bid.
Okay. I'd make a motion to refer that to Galen for review and maybe consideration at this meeting, since they've only got one bid. If that meets the specs, maybe come back before you leave, and if we can consider that later today. Yeah. Is that all right, Mr. Chairman?
I think that'd be great.
And this is the replacement the welder truck that was damaged in the accident.
They gave us $5,500. What did we get out of that?
Well, more than what they ordered.
58. So
$5,500.
Our cost will be roughly $19,000 or something.
Big upgrade. Big upgrade.
Yeah, because, my gosh. This ought to last forever. We'll go on with agenda. Approve or disapprove letters to EMS agencies. And I think you have a copy you should have in here. Motion to approve that.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, second by Lytle. And what this is we have contracts with all the EMS agencies in the county, seven of them or so. And this is just a letter that Don put together. We'll send out to extend that contract for another year, basically, unless somebody here has some conversation or thoughts on changing something. I believe this past year they definitely did a better job of getting their year-end letter in or report in. Help Matt, you sent that letter out to them and kind of gave them some outlines. But
yeah, your agreement allowed for that in the paragraph that it could be continued.
Yeah, our agreement allows that we could extend it as long as agreement on both parties, and that's what this letter is for, is to send it out that we're going to extend it. They just need to sign the letter and send it back then. So we're a little late. It started actually July 1st, but we're getting it out now.
Don was on vacation. Otherwise, it would have gone out sooner.
Yeah, right.
And we'll have to thank Tobias for sending a text to somebody on the board, Gary, and reminding us or whatever. Tobias sent a text to somebody. Maybe it was me. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You sent.
Maybe
I thought
you
sent.
To tell.
No.
Yeah.
Gary sent the text on to me, and that's when we made phone calls to. We didn't do that. So.
Yeah.
That's what this is for.
Always a clerk's fault.
Always a clerk's fault. Yeah. She's on vacation.
I got broad shoulders.
Any more discussion? Otherwise, vote.
Yeah.
Vote.
That's usually what prompts.
7-0. Going to take, before we start budget discussion, I need to take a 5-minute break, so we'll take a 5-minute break for everybody. Readjourn the county board meeting at 10. Are you on?
No.
Readjourn the county board meeting at 10:01. Next item on the agenda is budget discussions. So
everybody have their budget in front of them. We're just going to kind of go page by page here. And I'll point out some things on a visit with Dawn and each finance committee, and we'll start right in. So our first page there is county board. And again, this budget represents a tax asking increase of 1.06%. The levy would go from 0.336924 to 0.297582, so roughly a 4-cent reduction or 3.9-cent reduction, which is about a 12% reduction if you go from a levy standpoint in the face of a 15% increase in total county valuation. Wages and benefits of this budget constitute about $5.4 million. In addition to that would be insurance that we budget for, which is $1.8 million. So roughly $7.2 million wages, benefits, and insurance that we spend in this budget. Turn the page, you'll see the county clerk. And again, we're just stepping through. And Dawn did an excellent job. In the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see a percent there that represents the increase or decrease. Page 3, county treasurer. 3.5%. Register of deeds, about 3.5%. Page 5, county assessor, 2.6%. Election, you'll see 1.12%. Planning and zoning is flat. Employment security is flat. Clerk of the district court, 5%. And most of the, just to point out, most of the increases are related to wages, moving folks through the scale. Judge of the county court, you'll see a reduction there. of about 50%, and take note in the 14-15 year there was a $15,000, and that was the
furniture
and things, and one year desks. And one year before, we had done the treasurer, the assessor, and the clerk's office. So,
nope. Not clerk's.
Not the clerk's office. Sorry. Threw you under the bus like everybody else.
I know what.
And you fit, too. There was room. And there's more room. Well, we're getting to your budget here shortly. District judge, basically flat. Public defender, 5%, and that's a contractual arrangement that we have, and we approved that a couple months ago, didn't we?
A year ago.
We just redid it here.
And next would be building and grounds. Spend a little time here, illustrate a few items. We talked about the limestone repair, which was about $40,000. I talked to Davey about that. There's a couple different line items in here. One, if you go to towards the bottom under capital outlay, 5-0220, which is a courthouse building, which is $10,000. And you'll also, just underneath that is a 5-0230, is courthouse improvements. He talked about doing the bathroom, and his intention is to use those dollars for that. We could also use a portion of those dollars for the limestone, but there's also a building and ground sinking fund that has $275,000 in that. So as we march around and do things, and again, we've built that sinking fund up in the courthouse building fund for a period of time.
And I think in regards to that, you know, if getting that seal off of there would help the limestone, you know, and limit the chipping to what has occurred now, you know, that's maybe something we should take a look at and get that part of it done and limit the... And certainly that's kind of what he indicated when he was down here, but... You know, verify again that would be good, and then I think we look at it.
Yep, I'd agree.
And Matt, that was the reason that we've been putting the monies into the sinking fund was for this type of occurrence.
Exactly.
Even before doing that fox repair or whatever, the washing everything off and maybe tuck pointing things, so you'd have that done, and then look at maybe down the road fix. Most people are never going to notice the little dings here and there. But if a block falls out, it seems to
get their attention.
I think it's a multi-year project.
Yep.
Just anticipate a little bit. Extension office, you'll see the budget's basically flat. It's just about a 0.5% there increase. Sheriff's budget, we'll spend a little time here. We talked about on Monday roughly a 10% increase in actual budget expense from last year. Last year was $1.062 million, and this year what we came back with was $1.168. Now, I will illustrate, and I think we've all seen the documentation that the sheriff has provided, is there is a request, and I personally believe that there's a need for in-car and officer-worn body cameras. I think that, you know, we're going to be a casualty, pardon the... Maybe that's a poor choice of words. A casualty of the national culture that people want to see those interactions between officers. I think there's a level of prevention and protection for both entities, the public.
Now you're talking two things. So the body cameras and the in-car are different. They're two separate.
But I'm saying that in one breath, is the in-car and the body-worn cameras.
Okay, so we talked about that and weren't sure that we needed the in-car. We needed the body cameras. We're very much in support of that.
I'm just illustrating things that we had talked about.
Okay.
The dollar amount would be a 10% increase, which I think we had some angst over. Then there was wage adjustments for non-union employees. The sheriff, and it's his budget. I'm just going to illustrate these, and I spoke with him yesterday afternoon and said there were probably a multitude of questions, but... There's some wage adjustments of some non-union folks that he feels are out of range. And then we all know, based on the CIR ruling, that vehicle purchases are probably imminent. Now, is the ability to do all of those things going to encompass the ability of $107,000 in one year? I don't know. I don't know that that's going to be enough. But I still think a 10% increase in the budget's a pretty healthy. Yep. But there are some influences specific, whether it's in-car, body camera, what combination of vehicles, there are some influences outside that probably cause us, I think, to add additional dollars to that budget.
That's my opinion. That's 10%. It's $100,000. I find it difficult that the sheriff would be able to complete all the things that he'd like to do with that amount. But it is 10%. It's the biggest increase.
Is this all courthouse security included in that as well?
It's just a dollar amount increase. Whether or not he's able to do all of that.
But that encompasses everything that would go to courthouse security in that budget as well?
There is not a separate courthouse security budget.
So there's no additional dollars beyond that?
Total. I think the initial request, I spoke with the sheriff, you'll see was 1.346 in the sheriff's budget. And some of that, I should qualify, we talked about as committee, is there was a request for $100,000 expenditure that could be spread out over 4 years. So if you were to theoretically take, because there's a payment we can make, $25,000 a year, so you could take that 1.346 and take $75,000 off of that because we're not planning to expend that. But there was an additional $152,000, which is the security budget.
So have you investigated anything, Gus, as far as grants are concerned on those body cameras?
Yes.
Yep.
Not so much on the body cameras. They have COPS grants, but so much, that's a federal program, and every agency is out there applying for it. We have body cameras right now, probably when they first come out, really, really cheap ones that are, some are starting to go bad, and we're throwing them out now because they're just, you don't fix them. The grants out there for in-car system, you get through the state, which is for federal money, but that doesn't start till this fall, and then it's only a percentage, and you're allowed, like, I think, one or two a year. And the problem with technology, as you all know, if I go two a year, by the time I get the 10th one, these are all outdated already. That's what happens on these. So that's why I've included this, especially on the in-cars, up front. The other advantage, we've tried like four or five units. The one we're looking at right now also has the computer built into it, so they can go online and clock in from the cars. It appears to be a little more functional and a lot more benefits to Roger's office if it comes to court. Obviously, I think it was like a little $9,500, I think it was something like that on each unit. But that's why I did include that for Mass Community to look at was the ability to put over 4 years, because I know that's a big chunk of change. When I got rid of in-car videos, it was because they were starting to go bad and I was trying to save some money. Well, in the last 2 years, you can see how things have gone across the country. And I know Roger would like to have it back, and other courts have expressed that as well. It's just getting beyond officer's word, just isn't what it used to be, unfortunately. Good, bad, or indifferent on that. It's just, if we don't have it recorded, it's just almost like it didn't happen. So it's a big bite, but that's just going to have to be something we're going to look at. Whether I try to save money on that and didn't have it initially, it's just going to go back to that again. So that's where we're at on those.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
So that's what that represented, was roughly $100,000. It's $100,000 more than his budget last year. His actual expense was basically right on last year. There was a bigger list of things that I think we all saw.
I talked to Myron too. I started looking through the security stuff at the courthouse, which, I mean, I still fall under, we don't need it at all. I mean, that's my opinion. But we are required to have it. So I called and I talked to a security company. I don't know what our rules are on what we have to have for security, but I called to see I saw there's potential for three people here, I did some snooping around, looking around, you know, just to monitor what do we do here during the day. And it's like, I think it's really a potential. I mean, you're shorthanded really bad over there as it is. If we can get bids on security here, it may be way cheaper for you to not have one of your highest paid officers here and, you know, have him out working too. I don't know. But I thought that might be something to look into, at least getting bids on it, see what they charge. I assume they don't charge what somebody with full benefits gets and stuff. But we work different places where there's somebody that just sits and monitors. What got me was when I started looking through there, there was it almost made me mad. I thought it was almost ridiculous on some of this stuff. New laptops, 3 more body-worn videos, printers, couple tasers, a rifle with mags and ammo, 3 more handguns. I mean, when I saw that, the first thing I thought is get that screening station out altogether, get rid of it. It's like this is, it went on, uniforms, 2 more deputies, and I don't know if they put together just kind of a wish list for what they want up there, if they thought there was a Christmas tree up there, or they want.
What year is beside that? Is that this year's come out budget?
15-16.
Okay, here's the reason they do that, Eric, is because they have actor shooter. You heard that terminology before, mm-hmm. Okay? So when they're stationed here, they have to respond just like a road deputy would on the road. So that's why that equipment, that's the startup equipment on that. That's why they do that here. As far as private security, I looked into that when this initially all started. And actually, I got 3 different bids from people, or quotes, I should say, an official quote, to see what was out there. And they have, most companies have 3 levels. They have one that's unarmed and just a person there, basically a body. They have one that has a more skill level set and then armed. Then they have off-duty law enforcement, retired law enforcement, they're certified and carry weapons. The pay varies. Is it cheaper? At least it was when I was looking at that time. Then the problem came up, because I was talking to one of security company founders that does a lot around here, that the courts ruled there's a question now if you had private security there and you come in and you did something wrong, if I can detain you till law enforcement arrives because you're not law enforcement. So it never got to that point for me to sit down with Roger and look at it because we started going in their direction. Now, the statute requires the judges can have up to 2 people. And so what we've done is the board pretty much agreed not to the courthouse, so we moved to that floor. And so it allows us to have them there for the court. I fill a void in with part-timers so we can have enough people to man the screening station and be in the court, because sometimes we've got both courts going at the same time. When they have a lull there, then they try to make a round through the courthouse, and they'll check in the offices and just see what's going on there. So, yeah, it's something that I know people, it's hard to swallow. I can tell you, as your sheriff and more of a security expert than the average person on the street, it's just here. It's unfortunate. It's just come that way. If you see the quarterly stats I gave you guys throughout the year, you'll see what they're taking off just that one floor. And some things surprise me as well, what comes in. I mean, I don't know. It's just a different time. So that's basically why that's on there. I asked people to submit what you think for this year, and some I asked, I was trying to get like 1 and 3, like you on road, something a little bit further, so you see what's going on. As far as a wish list, that would be simply if they're stationed there and something happened, they can react now if there's a shooting, say, here today, instead of bringing somebody off the street over.
Well, I just wondered, that's a huge expense, huge potential expense, and with more people here, if we had an unarmed person just watching them come through, and then you had, you know, your trained people actually in the courtroom for the amount of time. I mean, I think he's probably in the courtroom under half the time, isn't he? 40%?
I don't know, Roger. Probably 60% of the time, aren't we, probably?
It really depends on the day.
Yeah, on the docket.
Like yesterday, we were nonstop. I mean, the officers were either right outside the door ready to go in, or they ran for, and that's just an estimate, but I'd say 75 to 80% of the time. Now, Thursdays, again, we a lot of times have Judge Bryant come over, so we got district court as well as county court, so there they got, Friday is basically all county, unless Judge Corslin has got a trial going on. And of course, the trial's going to, whether it's civil or criminal, at least, there's supposed to be 2, but I think they try one in the courtroom and one kind of floating. I think they try and watch it, but.
Well, and being shorthanded too, you've got some of your highest paid people, or one of your highest paid people over here. That would free him up for a lot of the time, though, I think, if there would be somebody sitting there. I mean, just watching around, I see a lot of idle time where...
You'll have that in screening station. You will, yeah.
Well, I mean, but you could have that idle time with... It's easier to swallow that with, you know, a security guard that's not a, you know, really high-paid person that's just there monitoring for that time that they're supposed to be there. We're shorthanded. It's hard for you to keep... It's hard for everybody to keep people now. A lot of those security companies are national companies where they've got people they move in from wherever, where they could do the mundane stuff and leave the actual stuff where you should have someone trained to do their job and come and go as they want. But I know that's not our job to tell you how to do. I'm just looking at dollars and cents on things. Yeah. I still lean towards the personal responsibility card where, you know, it's not your job to protect us. It's your job to figure out what happened after something happened to us. I mean, you're not personal security. There's no way any law enforcement can do that.
Well, the reason this all changed, well, initially back, the code board's back, is they made the sheriff the security administrator for the county. That right there in itself put a lot on my plate, whether I wanted it or not. Now I'm liable for a lot of things.
Unrealistic things, too.
Well, yeah, it depends. And I think over the years, since we started this here, we've done a lot to enhance security in the courthouse through the cameras and screening station, and I think they're training the employees and different things. So it's gotten a lot better. But like anything else, it's not for free, unfortunately. And again, if it comes back to private security, Eric, I suppose it's going to have to pass it off to Roger and see what is out there, because last I heard, that's why some of these companies weren't doing that on some of the areas that they were asked to contract with, because it comes into play, can they detain if they're not law enforcement? So I don't know. You got an opinion on that?
Well, you got at least a couple of things. Number one, unless, if it's a felony that goes down, a citizen or a security person that's not certified law enforcement, they can't affect the arrest. Now, I mean, as far as if it's a misdemeanor, that's one thing. Now, the other thing is, we hire them, we put them in here, even though they're quote-unquote independent contractor. You know as well as I do, if somebody gets crazy up there and the shots start firing. And that's what all these are about, is the extreme situations. You know, we hope and pray we never see that in this building, but we all see what's happening across the country. So everybody's trying to do something to protect their employees as well as the general public that comes in here to do their business. You guys have to make a decision. How far does that go?
We can't protect against crazy, even if I want to. And that's what we're trying to do.
We're not going to be able to protect responsibly with the taxpayers' dollars to do the best you can. And that's a policy decision that you guys, as you go through the budget process, as well as what you've been doing the last year in reviewing it. So, I mean... Do we have exposure when we hire an independent contractor, even though we can put that in a contract that, no, we're not responsible? I can tell you, if the lawsuit comes, guess who's going to be there? And that's just, we can't do anything about that either. You hire the best you can and go with it.
Well, and so, if something happens and the person gets away, you know, they get away, that's what happens if they can't detain them.
That's a good thing. They get away and don't worry.
Get them out. But, I mean, in my lifetime, nothing's ever happened here. I mean, when I looked up there, when I went up and looked at the stuff that was taken, I saw pocket knives and stuff. I mean, not a single item that I saw there was something that I saw as something that was somebody was going to sneak in and do something with. So, I mean, I was... When I saw it, I thought, really? I was expecting, like, some kind of contraband or...
Well, we have that. You're just there that one time. Look at your court report, and you'll see tasers, ammunition, mace, illegal knives. I mean, you're just took one day. I mean,
But those illegal knives are what all of us carry. I mean, they're, you know...
Not up there,
what's a 4-inch... No, yeah, not up there. But, I mean, it's stuff... Like I told you, when I went to the federal building, I got hit by the metal detector, had to go put my pocket knife in my pickup. Came back in, forgot I had another pocket knife that was bigger. It's like I forgot it was there.
Yeah.
But it just seems like there's so much wasted time. When you're shorthanded, you can't keep people. You're in the same boat as everyone else. To be able to get how do you say it nicely, lesser trained people, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know.
Not full-fledged law enforcement to do the menial stuff. And then you have your high-paid people, your well-trained people out doing their thing.
Well, most of those, other than the sergeant, are part-time, retired guys.
Works out great.
Yeah, I moved one from the jail over here to help fill a void on some of that, because if we're not there all the time, then it doesn't serve the purpose to be there, because if we have to leave for an hour, 5 minutes, and the floor... So that's worked out well. A couple people here have had to absorb that person's duties. But overall, the majority of those people are usually they're always just part-time anyway, other than the sergeant and the one person. So.
And I don't know. I know you have to update vehicles, too. If you have that payment program, that 100 grand leaves 70-some, but there's increased wages that come out of that, everything else, which that limits the amount of update on vehicles. I would still lean towards, if they drive something home, you know, focus on, here are my actual patrol cars that I'm keeping updated, and then keep shifting the other stuff out, where I know, once again, that's not our...
Well, here's what I did on this, Eric. I put those four used cars in for board's consideration. If I don't have enough to buy them, it's not going to hurt my feelings, because I have priorities. We spent about $10,000 fixing up the ones I'd mothballed. Now, once I know where the budget is, I'll probably get some equipment put in it, and I'll just have to drive them for the next year and a half, and then we'll go back to negotiations again, and that can be determined then. So those cars, that was just there. They don't have to be there. It won't be the way things will be going here, probably. So, yeah, they'll keep driving cars that are they're 200 plus. I'll just keep them so they're at least halfway safe, best I can make them, I guess. So,
yeah. The thing I would say about that, Gus, is that we just spent how much on three new vehicles a year ago? And I guess in my mind, we should be working towards if we need the equipment to do the job, and cars are equipment that we need to do the job. My mind, I think I would be looking to appropriate that money towards new vehicles, and we get on, stay on this program of buying the new vehicles, and maybe the courthouse security stuff that Eric's talking about becomes down the line, and we continue to take care of the equipment we need to do the road job, and maybe make that more of a high priority as opposed to some of this other stuff.
What I know, Matt tries not to everybody look at line items, mm-hmm. but I put a little extra time into this one so you kind of see for down the road. I'd agree with this on the courthouse over here. It'd be nice, but that's not a top priority. Right now, this year is going to be wages. And if you notice on there, they are severely lagging, which I think we've talked about. We're probably talking close to 45, 50,000 an increase just on about four or five people because of that far behind it. People have to be a priority for me first before anything else comes up. And then I'll just kind of go from there with what I have to work with. Yeah. And I told the board off and on that it was going to be an ugly budget this time around. And I try to just tell you like it is, and then we'll just work that process. I told Galen he gets most of my money anyway. So
I guess that was my point, Gus, is it's the people.
Yes.
It's the people and the equipment that is the most important.
100%.
And, you know.
Absolutely.
As far as taking on new services, I just don't know that we got the funds to appropriate to do that.
And we did not put an additional security budget in there, but the initial one we talked about Monday was a 10% increase of roughly $107,000, which would be additional for some of the other things we spoke about. But there's not an additional security budget.
No.
Okay. And we can come back to...
No. As soon as we're done with the sheriff here, Gannon probably has a recommendation on that pickup. We can go ahead and do that if you want to in between here.
As we're just meeting up the sheriff.
We're
done meeting up the sheriff.
Robbie thought Galen was maybe anxious to
go. Let's buy the pickup, and then we can run him over with it while we're at it.
I mean, if we take time here in between and go ahead and are you ready for a recommendation on the pickup?
Yep. Yeah, after reviewing Beatrice Ford's bid, it did meet all specs, and I'd recommend accepting Beatrice Ford's bid of $24,958.95.
I'll make a motion to approve that, what Galen just stated, their price and everything, Beatrice Ford.
Second.
Have a motion by Juergens and a second by Lytle.
to approve purchasing the 2016 Ford. Vote 7-0. Okay, sorry, Matt. Now we go back to
just to finish my thought. So what I was getting at, Gus, is that with I heard this discussion was Monday when I was sick, so I wasn't here. So the discussion was buying four used vehicles or something. I guess I would, to me, I would look very sourly towards that idea. I think that's a very bad idea because we got three that we just bought. We're going to bring in four more used ones. Now you're going to have seven vehicles that you're going to be looking at replacing in a few years down the road all at the same time because you bought three that are now 2 years old. Four more, they're going to be that same range of mileage and age. I just don't see that as being a good part of our plan as far as rotating in vehicles. I think that's...
I guess the one thing that always concerns me about buying used vehicles is the installment cost that it takes to put all that equipment in there. It is so much that it's like you probably better buy new, and when it's traded, it's no longer a vehicle.
I'll echo John's point on that, too. I understand why maybe looking at used ones, we can get them a little cheaper. But that installment cost anymore, when we're getting up to $9,000-$10,000 to install the equipment in one of these vehicles, you know, if you've got a vehicle that's a third or half used up already, part of that cost you really don't save on buying a used car because it's costing you more over the years for that installment.
Well, the used cars started years ago when the board approved to keep some cars. We bought some used ones. Everybody had their take-home cars because then we allowed them in the county. As the years went on, that trend stayed there, and a program wasn't instituted to do, like Gary's talking about, something new every year, what it takes. And that's what's important. The boards in the past necessarily didn't want to do that. They liked saving a few dollars, but you're right. Now what it costs is about $8,000-$10,000 for a transition cost. So I'd agree with you. You're not going to get any argument for me on that. It's just you have to stick to what you say and say it's going to be new whenever we decide to get them. It's got to be new then because then we're doing this all the time like we have been here recently.
So. That's tough with different boards coming in.
It does. It makes a difference, and you all got opinions. That's right.
And I'd be for the new cars too, you know, rotating in some new ones. I like technology. The thing that gets me is I think about $100,000 for computers and stuff, and then everything I hear is, well, those are gone in 4 years. 5 years are no good anymore. Well, if we avoid that, that's an expense we aren't replacing now. Oh, fixed. We didn't have them, so we don't have to replace them.
Yeah.
I talked to Roger about that with the cameras, so I know that's something that they want for the courts. But, geez, that's another huge expense so that we can have a computer, which we know we don't need. We've got them, and we don't really use them. So, I mean, we know we get by without them just fine.
You're talking about the computers for...
The computers and the cars that are going to be outdated within...
Well,
probably by the time we buy them, they're outdated before we get them delivered.
Supposedly, on this unit, they tell us that they have it developed now to where if something's outdated, you just take that part out and a new one goes in. Unlike the other ones, you just throw the whole thing away. That's one thing we liked about this one, if that would be the case. So
that's a major benefit.
Yeah, that's a huge benefit. So we've been trying to look at everything we can possibly think of on them, see if they're going to make us last a long time, because that kind of expense. And I've other agencies, PD's gone to some, Crete's gone to some. So, I mean, they're the one out there, I guess. So,
is there a chance, Gus, with those computers that you can buy six of them now for your patrol units? I guess what I'm getting at is if we buy 10 of them now, how are we going to continue to use that COPS grant fund money to buy one or two a year if we buy all of them up front?
Well, and there's no guarantee you get it either. Okay. In the past, lots of times, seemed like the metro areas seemed to get them. I looked at the COPS also for a school resource officer. But then I got looking at it, and after about the third year, it was 100% paid for by the county. So I haven't looked into the COP grants anymore on what they'll do for cameras. The one for the state, I know, I was thinking it was half maybe. I was thinking at one time. Again, there's a pot of money for all the agencies in the state, and so you just apply and you get. I mean, that's so, yeah.
Is there any way to incorporate some private security and actually decrease staff? Where?
Here, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's a possibility it's going to come back to, Roger's going to have to give me some direction on that, because if they're going to be there now, granted, I'd have some full-time here, I mean some certified officer here. If we just put one person on the screen all the time, because I asked the company how they pay them, and they said the one I talked to in Omaha is they paid according to the geographical area. So say if the average wage here is 15 or 14, then that's what they pay here. If it's 30 up in Omaha, then that's what they pay there. But I suppose it would be cheaper. It just depends what that person can do. If something really goes south before an officer actually gets there, what he can do. I mean, it's. I would not recommend the low skill level set. I think maybe one at least armed and has some ability and knowledge on some things. But that's certainly something if committee, if we want to look at that, I can start researching it again and see what.
I don't know what the right answer is on that. I'm just trying to think. Yeah. I mean, I'm thinking if I personally have somebody that's idle that much of the day, I'd have some other tasks for them to do. They would be busy.
I can't. Trouble is, they'd have to leave, and that's what makes it so bad.
That's the bad thing. I mean, it's a double-edged sword here. You know, if you have somebody that's only busy X number of hours in the day, you find somebody that fits that. That's tough when we have full-time people, and you can't not have the full-time person. So I'm just trying to think outside the box and see what would... If I had the answer, I'd tell you, Gus, this is what I think is a good idea. But I'm just trying to come up with something. There just seems to be
an
exorbitant amount of
Seward,
time.
They've gone through this. They've done their construction or renovation of the courthouse, and he just hired two or three extra deputies, and that's what works there. I know Jefferson's looking at it. I know I don't know how far Sleen is. They're looking at doing that on the courthouse and adding a screening station and some deputies there. There's a whole bunch of combinations of things, but the most I've seen, they're putting usually retired people in a lot of places I'm seeing, which they have the knowledge and
they have the knowledge, but then you're getting back to a slow, you know, realistically probably a somewhat slower moving, slower reacting person.
I'm not that far away, Salacha, okay?
You can get retired people that can handle the entire security.
You can.
Handle most of us.
Just because you're slowing down.
I'm slowing down. I need that Cosequin or whatever.
Yeah, there are some retired people. I mean, they get hold of you. You don't go very far. There's still some guys out there that can do that job. But
That's why they make guns.
See, that's where I go back to is I think we should all be allowed to carry here and take care of ourselves instead of having to rely on some personal responsibility. It doesn't hurt anyone.
Next
one. Now Matt goes ahead and steers away.
We can come back. I just want to step through. So if we get into any other thought-provoking conversations, we can come back to those later. Just take a shot at it.
You still on me or you're going on something else?
With the shot comment, or
no? I mean, I'll just sit back here until I
get thrown, Roger. Yeah.
County attorney, we'll see there about 1.5% increase, and a whole lot of sarcasm.
That goes free. I'll work on a commission on that inheritance tax fund if you want.
You'll see some dollars in there.
Same thing too, isn't it?
A little bit less for reserve deputies. Child support services is 2.8%. That's a contract. There's dollars into their shop with the cop, and those are if they come in, correct? Or you maintain those shop with the cop dollars?
Yeah, well, they're
privately funded. They're not.
Yeah, this is the old
county jail. If you go to the second page, well, I guess Don rewrote it. I had a previous budget. Last year, the approved budget was $808,751. We did a $50,000 transfer, so what we actually ended up spending, which would have been $858,000. So that's up from the original, if you hit the request of $878,000, would be an 8.5% increase. If you go up secondary to the transfer, it would be 2.25% increase. So, my understanding is a lot of those, you know, we run into every year is the fact that we're outside prisoner holds, boarding contracts. That seems where we're spending additional dollars. Next would be district probation, which is flat. Emergency management services. Tim's... He inherited this budget, so his first budget. At the end of this last year, he spent just under $100,000.
But there are some items in there with regard to communication and grant, or some siren grants and things like that. So it's a reduction of about 8% or $15,000, but it's still about $70,000 more than they actually spent last year. That may be an opportunity for us to use some of those dollars for the Bruce Springs Tower. And there was also an opportunity to use maybe some inheritance funds. That's kind of where there would be earmarked, if you were, since we don't really have a timeline or a bid or anything. We know roughly a quarter million or $225,000, a little bit less than a quarter. It's kind of what we're planning on roughly. County surveyor, basically flat, a 0.5% increase. Weed is flat. Medical relief services is flat. Veterans aid, according to the auditor, the balance right now is about $3,000. A couple years ago, it was $9,000. So I felt comfortable by doing a little bit extra. That would take basically up to $5,000 total if we throw this $2,000 in there. They have to, it's basically half of what it was 4 years ago, and they've been able to function. So $5,000 I felt was okay. And that's, again, administered through the Veterans Service Office. Next, page 29, Veterans Service Office, 1.2%, almost 1.3%. Next, page 30 is our institutions. These are arrangements that we have. You can see EPCs, the State Developmental Center, and those are basically flat. Next, we go to miscellaneous general. And we did, and I think everybody has the larger legal size piece of paper with all the agencies and their requests. No one has.
Did they
get that? Okay. We did reduce some. We held some flat. We made a few increases in some. Those would be, if you look at the actual expense from 14-15, and I don't have that right in front of me, but we did move some of those around. So some people got a little bit less, some people got the same, and some people got a little bit more. And again, some of those contracts we've already signed. I believe it was a Region 5 Systems and Services. We've already signed those agreements and things like that. So total miscellaneous general budget increase is about 3.5%.
One quick comment there. 2 years ago, we spent $428,000 on legal fees. Last year, by this, we spent $166,000. There again, we have some legal. Last year, we budgeted $300,000. We're doing that again this year, which I agree with because we – after six and just other things out there, we just don't know some of those costs. So I'm just making a comment on the legal fees.
The second page of the miscellaneous general, you'll see page 32. We always keep a little bit of what we call miscellaneous contingency, and from time to time we do dip into that. That was at 290. We lowered that to 250. Go down to the bottom where it says transfers. Again, road is not its own budget. We have to transfer out of miscellaneous for that. We would be transferring additional $127,000 in road and bridge sinking. There's 911 communications that we transfer. We keep that as a fund. $1 million insurance fund that we transfer into. The county building fund we're putting into. And there's economic development funds that we're putting into. The courthouse bond that's done, we're just carrying that balance, and that'll drop off next year, won't it?
Is done, just the line has to stay for 3 years. So
that'll drop off.
There's no funds in it.
So those are, you see some pretty big numbers there, almost $4.5 million, but those are transfers. So what happens sometimes when people go through and they count the budget expenditures, they'll count it here. And they also count it in the budget, and they said, my gosh, you're spending all this. They're double counting. So I always try to tell people that don't double count the transfers. Either ignore that bottom portion or ignore the funds later.
The process is on transfers, the way we've historically done it, and I guess it can be changed. Like, for instance, the road or road bridging, any one of those. Mostly the road, I guess, if they don't need it, we do it based on claims. So there was funds last year that didn't get transferred. It was budgeted to transfer, but it wasn't needed, so it stayed in the general. We just start over with a bigger beginning balance for tax purposes. So
next page would be road and bridge, page 33. You'll see a total request down by 0.5%, and I'll explain that. Some items to point out. Rock and gravel and asphaltic materials between the county and the township expense is projected to be $1.285 million, or just about $1.3 million. Highest expenditure of employees is in the highway department as far as being concentrated in a budget, which is about $1.3 million. There were two requests that were pulled out of this budget. One was FEMA dollars, which were $375,000, and so we moved that to Road and Bridge sinking, and so when those dollars come back in, we will just refund Road and Bridge sinking. So we pulled that out of the, which would be the general fund, which would go on the levy, so we pulled that out. We're using sinking fund dollars, so that's not involved in calculating the levy. We also saw an equipment request of $559,000. We were going to move... we were going to pull out the front end loader, or the that's used to run the insurance, the snow insurance machine that we bought several years ago. But Terry's been reading the Farmer's Almanac, and he thinks we're going to get hit this year. And so
it's a chicken thing.
He's not reading; he's feeling his bones.
So, but basically, you know, I just in talking to Terry, I said, you know, let's pull out $200,000. We'll put an estimated $359,000 in there, so there's a little bit of reduction. And as we move forward and we get bids, Galen can decide which piece of equipment he feels is needs the most.
I was looking on there, too, after just saying we should look at new stuff for the sheriff's cars. I wondered on a dump truck like that if we ought to look at maybe a used truck, something several years old, and knock a big...
You know, we did that one time. I remember how that was before this new one was purchased. There was two excellent trucks for sale with pups. By the time we spend 60 days going through the process to buy it, they were gone.
Oh, it takes 60 days.
Well, I just threw that out. I don't know what the time frame was, but there's a step you have to prove it.
Of buying it, it mires it down. We lost two.
A little bit, too, though, was that was when they had the Missouri River flooding. And there was a dump truck you couldn't get within I don't know how many states.
But I will tell you right now, those type of that equipment is in demand right now, too. So good equipment is going to be high in that end of that you're looking at. I know that. But I'm not against that used equipment.
Well,
no, I mean, that would have been an excellent choice.
We can't, as a county, just go out and tell the guy we're going to buy it.
We're going to buy
it. No, we have to.
Because I was thinking on that and that belly dump as well. I saw there's a new belly dump in there, which utilizes that low boy tractor. So that makes sense, too. And we're renting one anyway.
Right.
You can get an awful nice belly dump for half of that.
And I'm not saying it's got to be new by any means. Trust me.
If we could get somebody to somewhat hold a vehicle until we go through a process and bid it.
How long does that take?
It's kind of halfway illegal, too. I mean, you know.
Is it just impossible for us to buy used stuff then? Because, I mean, how do you bid this used stuff and make it comparable?
Like Roger said, yeah, halfway is right. Halfway impossible, yeah.
That was public.
Because of the way we have to go through our bidding processes, especially for anything that's a certain dollar amount, we're kind of restricted in, I can't go to you tomorrow and say, yeah, I'll buy that truck. You hold it for 60 days, and then we'll, if we get it okayed by the board, then we'll take it.
But we might not.
The board might not approve it.
Is there any way to do that, say, allocate X number of dollars?
Under the current bidding procedures, not. And, again, that's something I think as people are watching their tax dollars more and more and more, I think the legislature needs to take a look at that. I don't have the answer how you're going to write that statute. You know, if you get something that's over this many years old or this percentage of value, you don't have to do a formal process. Everybody should understand why you're doing it, because just what you guys are debating right now, that makes sense in certain situations, not to buy a brand new thing.
I run a lot more trucks than the county does, and I don't have any new ones. I run a lot more miles every day.
But, you know, until they change that rule, we're going to have problems competing with the other folks out there that are also buying used equipment.
And maybe that's the idea, so that municipalities aren't competing for that used.
But then they'll, you know, the flip side of that is then it's collusion.
Because the last time Terry found a really good one somewhere up in Lincoln or something, I don't remember the whole story, and he talked to the guy, and the guy was going to kind of halfway hold it, And by the time we had our second meeting, it was sold already. He called him and it was sold already. You know, our second meeting, so we could go through the, because we have to advertise it. We have to. Well,
how does that work with used squad cars? Is that from another municipality? So then we just.
Well, those particular ones I put in, those were through the Kansas Highway Patrol, and they have nothing but a division deals with those, and they're taken out at 49,500 miles. And of course, they detail them, and some still have warranty and whatever it is. But those happen to be through there. So I guess in the past, we've just purchased.
So you can buy those from another public entity?
Well, basically, it goes through the, where they have a designated purchasing agent. You know, and when you do that, then you don't have to go through all the bidding process.
So if we had
we bought those ones from that Fremont dealer.
Yeah, they were new on state bid. Yeah.
If we had a designated purchasing agent, then we wouldn't have to do that?
No. The state is the purchasing agent.
Oh, I see.
And if you go through the state, then the concept is they've already got the best and lowest bids.
But these are used. These have been bought, used, yeah. And then they're...
It could be maybe the state doesn't buy anything used. I don't know. I don't want to say that. But, again... I think it's something that maybe the legislature needs to look at and give us some opportunity, just like they did with the, you know, recently Senator Baker got that change as far as the schools, what they have to bid things for. They raised that amount so it's not as cumbersome so you can move. I mean, it's a thought. And you guys, like you said, you're running into it where you're losing opportunities to save the taxpayers here money.
We paid for that new dump truck. Well, I know it was right at half or in that neighborhood, mm-hmm. half that you had found really good.
It's the thing, a few years old, all of a sudden you go from a buck and a half to 80 or something. That's mm-hmm. a big difference there.
So you agree. But that time that somebody, he called up and somebody just came in, wrote him a check out for it, which we don't have that opportunity.
So you'll see there's a reduction in there, but actually when we add everything together, there were... In inheritance fund, and we'll get there, in Galen's budget, there were roughly $695,000 planned for Hickory Road expenditures. We pulled that out of his budget and put that in inheritance. We have armor coating to the tune of 300 and, what did I say?
435 armor coat.
435, which we pulled out of his budget that we put into... sinking or
road bridge sinking.
Inheritance.
Oh, inheritance. Okay.
You're getting screwed up here. I'm trying to go through here.
One of the other.
And then of course the FEMA dollars, which were in there, which are just payback or in and out dollars there. So the actual expenditures of his budget initially were 5.4, almost 5.5, which is about, what would that be? Quick cowboy math here, $700,000 increase. But we were able to move some of those around because we do have those sinking fund dollars. And the other thing that, you know, Terry and I have talked about is, and what we've talked about really as a committee, even is our 1-6 plan may not look too much different because of all the rain and repair work we had to do. Because we didn't, there's a lot of those projects, I don't know the percentage, and probably not going to be a whole lot of new projects. We're still going to be finishing what was left over. The next page on 35 is road and bridge sinking. This is where you'll see that FEMA dollar expense of the 375. You'll see, and we always, through our sinking funds, always like to show a full expenditure, so it gives us the authority to spend those if need be. You know, if we had $2 million sitting there, we've only planned to expend $1 million, and we need $1.5 million, we're out. We're not saying that we have to spend it, but we'd like to show that. The dollars that that I would advocate going back and looking at, because I don't think we're going to be able to make that decision in the week in which this has got to get done, would be the 5-1200, which is that capital outlay or that highway buyback. That might be an opportunity, that $287,000 sitting there, that might be an opportunity to capture some additional armor coating. And that's where, again, it's a sinking fund dollars. That's out there. It's outside of the general obligation. That might be an opportunity there, and that it, and that's infrastructure again. So
sounds good.
I think we think about that. I think that's worthwhile to come up with some. Next page 36, visitors promotion. Again, they expend the dollars that come in. Visitors improvement funds. Register of Deeds, preservation. That's basically a little bit reduction there. Insurance fund. This is where we transfer dollars in, and Don's put in there $1.8 million, which is a little bit less than what we had before, but they said we were going to get a better deal. So, checks in the mail, right? But there is a change in some of the deductibles. Just kind of going through them on page 41, trying to get back to there's economic development there. And again, this is a fund, and so it shows that $300,000 that are in there, but that's a transfer. That's a fund that we would transfer dollars into. And so that just, if for some reason we had talked at some point, if there was some project we wanted to work on.
Where are you, Matt?
Page 43.
43.
Okay.
If for some reason we wanted to be involved in some sort of capital project to promote or develop economic development outside of our regular contract that we have with Engage, that gives us some authority to do that. This is not taxable dollars. This would have to be transferred from a separate fund into here to be expended. It's just, and that's, we did that in 14-15 as well. Well, that's not new.
If you back up a page to the 42, to Homeland Security, what does this involve?
Those are grants that can be written if there's dollars that are available for there. You can see last year there was about $10,000 that were spent. A lot of, and knowing from being on Beatrice Rural Fire, a lot of the Homeland Security stuff is drawn up or is dried up.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot that's out there anymore. And again, these are funds. This doesn't create an increase in the levy or tax asking. This is spending authority that we put within a fund that if there happened to be some Homeland Security out there that would come between now and June 30th, we could apply for some of those funds and try to get that back.
That's saying that we,
if you don't have it in there, you can't apply for the funds and expend the money.
Right.
So this money doesn't exist in real
correct.
Life then? This
no,
is
correct.
No.
Correct.
Okay,
that's
it does, because when Mark was here and there was a lot of Homeland Security money coming in, there is still a little bit trickling in. We got a little bit last year, but when I budget for what's sitting in that fund to be spent, and then that was what the balance of the fund was, and then, you know, maybe $5,000 that might trickle.
Well, that's
in.
Actually the balance in that fund. I didn't think
right close to that. Okay. There is that much sitting in
corrected.
There.
I stand corrected then.
Does this include those? I call them those shelters. You know that there's those grants. That
right. No, I don't
that's
know.
Not
it's
in
whatever.
Here.
See,
that's
it used to be
program.
The part of the their wages and things like that, and part of Mark's money that okay. he would spend when they were doing a lot of Homeland
right.
Security stuff. So there was dollars still sitting there.
Didn't know that.
I know Tim has had a few dollars coming in last year. He had a few come in.
I didn't know we had that balance. This, I thought those were all projected expenses.
No, it's still, no. It, they're still.
What are the regulations still, on how long we can sit on that and not
that
expend?
I can't answer. No. All I can tell you is what's sitting there.
But so. That 85 is what is there, though.
No, I'll give you the exact figure that's sitting there. I project a little bit. For his
so we need to have
income.
Tim look at that and see, because there's sometimes a sunset on those. You can't just hold on to those forever.
Right.
But that's all money we've acquired, not through taxation, through grants, or through...
Probably.
Okay, the actual revenue is $83,549.46. That was at the end of the fiscal year. So to make an even amount, and he did get in, actual revenue last year was $9,910. So he got some money in last year. How, why, that I can't answer. I just know that that's...
Yeah, and I don't... There's specific criteria that you can use that for, but I'm not aware that there's any plan
maybe
out there.
Maybe if Tim could look at that, because, I mean, that might be something...
Yeah, you'll have to visit with him on that.
Would you say $9,910?
Uh-huh.
That's what he expensed, too.
That might be something.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's what we show as revenue coming in.
It's
so.
Normally a flow through type mm-hmm. thing, but yeah.
That may be something we could use on Tim or for something he's trying to
or
do.
New
or
new sheriff, cars.
Yeah, something the sheriff needs.
Thank you, Myron.
Well, if we have to spend the money, no, I'm teasing.
All right. So page 44 then would be the inheritance fund, and that's where we'll show the armor coating, which was the 435. We show the Hickory Road of 700,000. So I thought we had 3.1 million that we could spend. It's 2.9.
You're counting what's been deposited in this fiscal year. You only get last fiscal year.
This was the end of last fiscal year.
I thought that number was
in July, and August 1st it was 3.1.
Okay. Well, you gave me that sticky, and I thought we had.
All right. Back up to road bridge sinking, though. The only reason I'm asking is I think we had a line in there yet for Hickory Road for 400,000.
This I know is exactly right.
I don't know where road and bridge sinking is now.
Well, this is what the ending balance was as of June 30th, and that's what I budgeted.
Yeah, this is the ending balance, and then then we see that report every month, and that one was over 3 million.
Yeah.
And we might be more than that by now.
Might be.
What page are you in road bridge sinking? I'm
35.
Part of that is John and I talked about it, is our fiscal year splits our construction season. And so when we obligate these funds, we're really just trying to get everything done by the end of June. And then we're looking into the next year already. So some of that was carryover. And we took that $695,000 and just rounded that up to $700,000 and put that out of inheritance. But those are projected or proposed expenditures. Again, they're in sinking and they're in inheritance, so they're not going to create taxation. Those are dollars we've already collected.
Mm-hmm. Right, but my point being, though, here you have $700,000 in inheritance and a line for it. In road and bridge sinking, we have another $400,000.
Right, and right.
And that's been.
We need them both, I guess. Or I don't know.
And that's been my philosophy for years about Hickory Road: is we would not deficit any particular account, any specific account. For that expenditure, we would use a combination of general fund, internal bond if we have to, sinking fund, and inheritance fund. So we take a little bit out of each one periodically as we need it.
But keep them both lined in there, I guess.
I think it designates and says, yes, we're dedicated to doing this. We're designating those.
I just didn't want it to double. I mean, I didn't want you thinking that $400,000 wasn't in that line and then you had the seven.
And they're proposed, this year we just didn't hardly spend any on Hickory Road. I shouldn't say, we spent, but not what we thought we were going to spend.
Yeah. Well, we've,
from a construction standpoint.
Since a lot of us have been on the board, we've always included some lines in here, and we haven't been to that point to spend it yet.
That's a good point. Good point. So you'll see Hickory Road there. We show a full expenditure in the balance of miscellaneous capital outlay, so we're showing a full expenditure of the 2.9, but we do that every year. We show the full expenditure. That doesn't mean we have to. That just means that if we need to spend it, we can. And we did that one year when we spent $400,000 on the snow insurance. So page 45.
That's a nice looking machine, Terry. I went down and looked at it the other day.
Let's see. There's a bond repayment there. That was the old bond, wasn't
it? This is the old courthouse.
Yeah, there's a new one. Okay.
You got something that'll run it?
What's that?
You got something that'll run that snowplow?
I've got two things that will.
Yeah.
So I can't buy you stuff, or I'd make you a deal.
Will you hold it for 2 months?
On page 46, you'll see this is a road bond payment. And so that's a little bit higher. But maybe we have those bond funds that are expended, but we're going to pay back. And so that's this roughly the second payment.
The second principal will be coming up here.
You speak to that. You talked to me about that. I mean, it's a 10-year bond to be paid off in 2023, and it's 3 cents, which is going to.
You can only
if we do the full 3 mil levy, because this what this is the full
three cent
mil levy, and we do the full mil
plus cash cash reserve.
Plus cash reserve.
I have to build a cash reserve in.
So we're not paying it off any quicker.
No,
it's just we're going
just have to. So then, if you get down to the point where your valuation drops and I can't get a full 3 cents and I've got to make a payment and I don't have enough money coming in, the auditor advised if you can do it, you need to take your full 3 cents.
But theoretically, if we take our full 3 cents and our valuation
stays up,
there,
so we could pay it
theoretically
off
that last year or 2 years or whatever in there, we may have a balance in here to pay it off early. May have.
Could have. Could
that's something
could
you just monitor then and see how it. See,
every
I suppose
year
in the last
we'll
few years, you'll really know.
Well, we paid off that highway bond early, that we had that
Because of increased
highway bond.
Because of increased valuation.
Just that we were able to, yeah, we had the dollars there with the cash reserve that I have to maintain, and we were able toward the end to pay it off.
Because in that bond issue there, that was a maximum of 3 mil levy we could go up to in that bond.
And is that what it went to?
That's what we're going to again this year again. We did 3 mil levy last year, and 3 mil levy this year will increase a little bit more tax collection.
The jeopardy would be that if your valuation dropped off, that even if you collected the 3 cents, it wouldn't be enough to make the payment.
Yeah.
That's the jeopardy.
Which is possible.
Yep. And then you just
not
have
really
to you pull the funds.
Stuff, but it could happen.
Yep. Going forward then to page, a couple old bonds, bond funds that are there. Going to page 48. This is a county building sinking, and this is where it shows. At the end of 14-15, there was $275,000 in there. We're showing a transfer in from the general fund of $50,000, but this is where we could potentially pull the limestone improvement or the project from. And again, those are sinking fund dollars outside of the general obligation they're asking. And then you'll see 49 is a 911 communication, and that again is a transfer from the general fund. And then page 50 is blank.
That gentleman is your budget.
Now that is the budget that represents, as I said before, here's my little sheet that Don put together. A 1% increase, 1.06% increase, which is roughly, somebody quickly do the math for me, from last year.
$86,000 some dollars.
$86,000 different, and the levy would drop to 0.297766 from
33,6924. I would say 1.06% looks good. Hopefully, I was just roughly looking at those rock and gravel bids, and it looks like the rock price at the pit went up 2.5%, and it looks like maybe gravel went up 5%. And, when you project ahead fuel costs and that type of thing, 1.5% might be something that's not maintainable down the road. But
trucking bids were less, right?
Well, they should have been.
They should have been, yeah.
I didn't get to those yet.
So. Fuel's down.
We had a lot of bidders, which was good.
You had a lot of bidders. The 1.06 increase. I'm comfortable with that. Real comfortable with that.
So it's not a whole lot different than what we talked about. I think Don and I kind of moved some stuff into some of those sinking funds, which again, we've got $5 million out there between. Well, we've got almost. If you look at all of the sinking funds, we've got almost $5.5 million. If you take into account. And we've saved those over years to use periodically, and I think continuing to build on those, why are we creating that balance if at some point you don't spend them? And so I think now is an opportunity for us to.
And I think some of that is the delay in Hickory Road. If it would have been done, that balance wouldn't be there. And right. Literally, Hickory Road is probably, what, $4 million? For the 4 miles.
A million of miles, what they say.
So
I don't know. Galen's kind of hinting around
and it could be
the last time we bid a project to now, the costs have gone up.
Yeah.
So once we do finally get to bid, I don't know what the cost will be for Hickory Road.
Well, just remember that the preparation was done, but to do those 2 miles of concrete over there 2 years ago was $800,000 for 2 miles.
That was an unusually low number.
Yes, it was. Yes.
And that was considered about half the cost because the prep work was already done.
Here we have prep work and a bridge. And
the right-of-way was already done.
And the right-of-way. The right-of-way is going to be over $100,000 over here.
Our timeline for turning this in, unless there's any suggestions, if the board is comfortable with where we're at and if the committee is comfortable, letting Don go ahead and write this up, and submit this. Otherwise, Don and I are the committee. We need to get together either Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, or Monday. But if we're comfortable and we don't foresee any significant changes, then Don will draft this up, and because she has
to publish the budget hearing notice, and it has to be published 5 days before your hearing. So I have to have it to the paper. I have to have everything finalized Monday. It has to be the paper by 10 o'clock to go in. Get my 5 days.
We will have our budget public hearing on September the 2nd. Then and we are looking at board approval on the 16th of September then.
I'm comfortable with what we've got.
Matt. And I'm fine.
Okay. Gary?
Just the one thing is the armor coating and looking at using them buyback dollars to make sure that.
I think we keep that conversation going and we look at that and we see if, you know, where we need to be on that. There are some dollars that are out there. They're allocated as part of an expenditure if we feel like we want to do that.
I will tell you that based on the budget, if we kept the $435,000 for armor coating in the highway budget, and still said we were going to do $400,000 in capital improvements, we'd have been up against our lid. We couldn't have, we'd have had to cut. We couldn't have got, unless we said we were going to do a lot more projects and raise our capital improvement amount.
On this sheet you gave us Monday, on that third option to keep everything flat, what did you have to move from?
Well, right now we'd have to cut $80,000+ if you want to keep it flat. Because I went back through and I had some corrections that I had to make, so I found a couple of things that I had left off. So that kind of used up a little bit of the excess that we had in the road. Option three, if you want a flat budget, we'll have to cut around $86,000, I think, is what the difference was, $86,000 to get flat.
And then we got real aggressive and tried to see if we could go under. But there's some pitfalls in doing that because then that becomes your new base. And as you try and increase, you know, as things get more expensive, you kind of get behind the eight ball sometimes. And
just like we were talking about the townships being stuck at.
The county is also limited in tax asking by that 2.5% or another 1%, 3.5% lid.
Seems kind of like a double-edged sword. You try to keep lower things, and then it bites you as
and
time goes on.
That really got the townships before 1992 or 3 when that lid came into effect. A lot of them very frugal and holding their budgets down. That came into effect, and then they couldn't catch up ever. They were caught.
And if we didn't have inheritance fund, and if we didn't and hadn't been various boards slowly putting dollars away into those sinking funds to be able to use, there would be an issue. But since those are out there to use, and we have used them, I think we're okay.
And that's one of the things where you want to make sure you don't get behind on your major maintenance. That's going to cost you more down the road as you lock your budget in, and all of a sudden you're way behind.
Well, that's where I see on where you got really aggressive. You start cutting maintenance in half.
But
it sounds good until you have to replace it.
Yep.
Part of this road and bridge sinking, though, in the last 2 years, we've gotten about $540,000 from the state in those highway buyback and the bridge buyback funds.
Yep. Now, part of that budgeted amount is what we're going to be getting coming in.
John, the one thing we
all... $200,000+ is sitting there now. We're going to be getting in another portion.
Well, every year
so it's budgeted for that increase that I've been notified that we're
getting. There's also gas tax allocation increases that will be coming
right.
As
well. I was just going to say that was one thing, John, with that money coming in now with that additional gas tax, that should help with. And I don't know if that's something we want to tentatively earmark for maintenance.
Well, we typically put that in for operations of the highway department. And we've used one of those payments before to make a bond payment.
We did an internal.
Can that be used for operations?
The gas tech, the new bill that they just passed, no, that has to be designated for roads.
Historically is where we
But for the first year here, we're getting, I thought it was 60 or 70 or 80,000 the first year. And by the sixth year, we'll be up to 300, over 300, yeah. But those have to be, and that there's paperwork that has to go back with that, and you have to.
We had accepted that we wanted
account
them.
Accept that you want it, but also account for the fact that those funds were used
for. So I assume we'll probably want that to go into road and bridge sinking and just have a separate line in road and bridge sinking again for those funds.
Right. Right. That really will help with
those gas tax dollars.
Give me that.
But these buyback programs, though, then the state basically eliminated helping us out if we ever had to put a bridge in. That's my point. You know, like we've had three bridges in the last five, whenever we do the one up on Apple Road. We'll have three federal aid bridges done. That those buyback funds are replacing anything like that. So it's more, I mean, you have to watch a little bit from your county's perspective how you handle those dollars so that if we, or someday when we start replacing a bridge or two.
Well, and there's certainly tons of bridges out there needing it.
There's two buybacks. There's one bridge and one for.
Yeah, one bridge and one highway. Yeah.
That's what I said. You can't, and I think you can nickel and dime those
positively you can nickel and dime those sinking funds, but you can't clear them out all the time. You got to spend some, and then you got to put some on general obligation, and then you got to spend some, and I think this is just a year where we're spending it. But how do you look a taxpayer in the face and say, yeah, we got $5 million in a savings account, we're going to continue to tax you?
I think a lot of people understand, though, that sounds like a lot of money until you look at the scale of things, and then all of a sudden,
look how quickly we can spend.
Yep. Oh, I'm sure. Really want to hear how quickly we can spend.
I'm sure if we had somebody doing an evaluation of our reserves, we would we'd actually be probably low in that $5.5 million.
You're probably right.
Having reserves, because I know we did that in the city about 4 or 5 years ago, and we thought we were in really good shape.
It took years to build up to where they thought we should be, which we thought was a safe number, and it becomes a piggy bank for a just in case, you know, the unforeseen. But that's what I was just wondering, if there ever had been an evaluation, or if Minnelli had ever given any indication of what they saw as normal.
I think you have to go back and look at, would you continue operations and construction and improvement if things got tough? You'd go back and you'd peel back a lot of different things. You'd peel back operations. At one point, we had enough dollars from a tax asking standpoint that we could have operated an entire year with no tax collection between cash reserves, sinking funds. You basically had 365 days cash on hand that you could have operated. But you would have not been buying equipment. You would have probably cut back some employees. So if things do get really lean and you never collect any tax from anybody, at one point we could have operated about a year. But you can't continue to be in a development and an improvement in some cases maintenance mode if you're not having tax revenue.
So you have to keep in the back of your mind too that inheritance tax keeps getting threatened all the time. So you never know when that's going to go out the door.
Yep,
that's for sure.
It just makes you wonder though, when there is money, departments always get fat. When's the time to start saying, okay, try to lean up a little bit, get rid of a person? Or,
well,
nobody can ever get rid of a person until they have to get rid of a person, and then magically we still get by somehow, it seems like.
When you look at this, most of the departments must have got a little leaner, because 1.06 doesn't account for the 2.5% employee raise that
that's a good
basically
point.
Is out there, and nothing is costing less. I mean, when we bid new equipment next year, it's not going to cost less than this year.
Equipment prices came in really good, too. There's several things in the last few years that came in really well.
Mm-hmm. So, Dawn, I guess we'll, outside of the motion, she's our budget authority, and so she'll...
And that includes everything that we've talked about today in the budget. So unless somebody wants to change some budget, we're...
One question, Matt. Did you or Dawn, one of you, run the numbers as to what the tax asking percentage would have been had we not used the inheritance funds?
Well,
if that was all, right?
Right. We'd have had to cut or raise our.
Well, quickly, if you'd have probably $1.5 million, which would have been another 5 cents. Because every cent we levy would bring in $300,000. So just quick math, probably about an additional 5 cents. So the levy would have probably gone up.
Yeah,
Myron would have made it out the front door with the increase in valuation.
I would be
Justin's right hand man for about a week.
It would.
I'm trying to find him out of my sight.
I'm trying to think of the things that we're using, you know, the 400 or so that we had for armor coating, the 300 or so that we had for FEMA funds, and the 695 for Hickory that were, you know, roughly 1.5, 1.6. So divide that by 300,000 and come up with a levy amount.
I just thought people might be interested to hear that number of how we handled the tax asking, as how it could have been as to what it is going to be.
If we hadn't slowly built up those sinking funds, and if we hadn't had inheritance,
exactly,
those things just wouldn't have gotten done, because I don't think anybody here would have voted for that type of an increase.
Yeah, I think it was like an 8% increase, I think is what I remember right. I did run that last night, and I think it might have been like 8% more.
Say this gets approved, come the end of the year, Dawn runs over her budget. What's the penalty there? Do we just say, fine, that's okay?
Well, they'd have to come justify it, and if they don't justify it, then at that point they're going to have to decide where they're going to cut, and that might be an opportunity for someone that has to let somebody go, or they have to
shut their office down for a period of time. In theory, and let's pick on Dawn because she's here and she can defend herself and she's two people away from me, but if she was to run over, if she was to run over and she'd say, well, I can no longer afford to pay my employees, I can only be open Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And as long as that meets the statutory deadlines with paperwork she needs to do, she'd have to close her office 2 days a week and save those wages and make everybody part-time. That's my opinion.
In the last budget process, we have somebody with bullets in here that had to actually come in and do that, and we just added, we had to add to the budget, when he came and he justified why it had to be done, you've been a part of it, we've done it.
Well, like highway department or jail, that's tough because there's a lot of variables there, but.
I mean, they all go through the same process. They come in and justify.
Everybody's watching, okay, this is where I'm at, so we don't get further along. And
that's why sometimes it gets annoying when you see the last claims list of all types of stuff gets bought that isn't payroll-related.
To get close to their budget.
Yeah.
And that's why historically we've tried to make sure people don't. That we had a board, a finance committee that would go line item and cut it. If you didn't use it, you cut it. Well, then you get that mentality, well, I'm going to spend it because it's going to get taken away and they're going to cut my budget the following year. And so
the case, though.
No, and so
we changed that.
That has gotten.
We changed that, so we said spend what you need.
That
and
way the money goes back in the general fund instead of just getting blown on stuff. I'd be very surprised I'd be very surprised if I would vote for anything that goes over budget at the end of this next year. I'm just going to throw that out there. I don't know why. Just in case.
But how much time
cut back on paper and stuff.
Are we past the deadline? I need to buy a computer thing. And I had it in last year. And
I need a new knickknack.
Didn't get it done, so it's going to go in next year's budget. I didn't. But I don't, and again, I can't speak for all the officials, but I think they're all pretty frugal. I mean, I saw the state government when, and this has been several years ago, but at the end of the year, you either spent it or you lost it. And that was for the next fiscal year. So I think this board has always adopted, if you're fiscally conservative and you don't spend it, we're not going to take it away from you. But again, you got to come in here and tell you folks, here's what I'm spending. I just don't see that.
But I will mention this in our highway department, road and bridge, there was $700,000 they didn't spend last year. That did not get spent, but that was because of the weather more than anything. We weren't able to buy things and do things because of the weather.
And a lot of it was budgeted for Hickory, and nothing got done there.
Well, like Dave, when he came in, that's a perfect example. He came in and asked, he had some money left for this bathroom.
Yeah.
And that's not just buying junk. He wanted to do that project, so he said, well, I have some dollars here. What do you think about buying some of this year, and then we'll buy, the rest next year? I mean, that's not like just emptying the account at the end of the year. It's just a little bit of planning.
I think everything's gone awfully well, and this board has managed very well and has paid attention to detail, which is really important, and I'm very pleased with the way this budget is going forward, and I feel very comfortable with what we have.
Do we need to set a time to have our public hearing then?
It will, yes. What I'll publish is at, I think, 9:30. On September 2nd.
Okay.
What I have here, unless you wanted it a different time.
Nope, 9:30 is great.
We did last time.
9:30, public hearing on the budget. September 2nd meeting. Terry?
I just want to make a comment. Don's put a lot of work into this, I know, as well as Matt.
Yeah.
So kudos to both them guys. They've done a lot of time, spent a lot of time doing this, getting this ready. So.
Well, we as a group have sat here for an hour and a half going over this, and I appreciate even the sheriff being here as we kind of poked on him a little bit. It's
Well, the departments have put a lot of time into it, too. Every year they do and stuff.
You need a motion to go into closed session?
Yeah, that's one thing we have on the agenda is closed session, and it's a litigation update, and there won't be any decision coming out of it.
Yeah, I would move we go into closed session.
We have a second?
Second.
A motion by Byer, seconded by Thiemann, at going to closed session at 11:23 for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
Better.
And there won't be any decision coming out. Vote. 7-0. We're out of executive session. We need to vote to come out of executive session at 11:53.
I move to come out of executive session.
Second.
A motion by Lytle, seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 7-0. Meeting adjourned.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks.
Myron got out of buying lunch by 10 minutes.
You
want
to adjourn already, Myron?
Yeah,
Pat, boss.
Thank you.
If they want to go ahead and bury those cremains,
it is light
down there.
What is it?
Nothing stopping them, is there?
Eric, I need your insurance. Let's see, do I have your insurance card? I'm not sure if I got yours or not. I just want to make sure I got everybody's.
John, I won't do that. I don't know where they want to bury him, but isn't there some of these old, I call them.
Oh, that's why it's so wet, so light.
What would stop them from actually penetrating? Visiting with those people.
Do they have a pile of this laying down at that 11277 yard?
Or not? I mean, I don't know.
There's a cemetery. One in this town. I want to dig up the bigger hole. And then this is the smaller one. There's two piles down there.
Oh, so great.
So how do they do that? There's holes they go through and do that first? Yeah. And then they come back and go over.
No,
and you said it looked like it filled in the holes. Like, no, it's impossible. That's not what Armored Road does.
If I got $1,500 instead of 12.
We're going to do it. Hold it. Okay.
They've got a whole bunch of different. They've got a whole different bunch of different weights of that, depending on what you're doing.
Yeah.
So if he has 1,200,
they're raising any more money.
It's amazing. Sometimes you see a gravel road that got armor coated and it becomes like asphalt, and then you see an asphalt road that got armor coated and it's crap. It all depends on.
Yeah, I guess that's.
You know where it comes from.
That was before.
Carrie, I'll do some checking on that.
Yeah, I think so, too. I had a list here, and so I couldn't remember who was on the list.
Yeah, you're right.
I'll talk to the state yard. I'll do some checking on that, see where they're hitting it from.
That's where I was going wrong. I was looking at it.
Thinking that was last year's amount. Yeah.
As opposed to request and allowable. Would you look at Elms and make sure that they did take the...
I wonder what that cost compared to that living water stuff.
I don't know.
But it's not dry.
Yeah,
I like
last year to this year. I would assume they did, but if they didn't, then that's...
And I never went and looked.
Because it stays there.
They like this way better.
Yes, this is
better than the hard limestone, too?
The only way they're going right here.
And I'm not sure what they sent, whether it's... They don't get their actual budgets.
I don't know what's different.
What do you think? We just want to get ourselves back. It's a preliminary request. I don't know what their budget will say until that's
done. Instead of taking it all with you.
Okay, true, true.
That'd be good for traffic,
true
too.
Also.
Whether they
but
could take their,
but if that's
get a copy of the budget when it comes in for you.
I think there's some people who's ready.
Gary.
Oh, really?
What about dropping another few percent off?
Well, tell them we'll donate the 20 lots back if they're going to do
it. The Sheriff's Department, they're up 10%.
I mean, they can have them back. We don't need them.
No, and we could just tell them.
I mean, yeah, 10% there and 8% at the jail.
Yeah.
Nobody else is over there. See, that's what I thought of the first was 5. I said, well,
5's a big increase.
Yeah. It is. Especially when you're talking about
$8
amount. If you're talking about a $2 million budget,
then they have what?
Zero output and production. I mean,
you know,
it's a service we're providing.
I don't know where they are. Right up there at Adams, we've got an old
Well, you guys have to decide ASAP so I know how to do my budget hearing notice.
Yeah, they said he wants to see zero. That's not realistic.
If they want to, otherwise.
That's not a realistic
number. That's even responsible for you guys because you have expenses. You have
increases, too. There are people.
I think you have to have something.
Like on those, computers, that $100,000, I almost think that we should look at inheritance tax for those. But the reason I didn't say anything or I wouldn't go that way is just because.
You mean that server he bought?
No.
The
cameras and computers for the cars.
The server I can understand. That's but then when I started reading through stuff, part of the reason we need that is because of the potential for the car cameras, and we need that extra storage for them.
Been nice to just come out and say that up front. As
yeah, don't
the thing I will tell you that has been, thank you, the auditor has told me in the past where when I started here, we had less than $200,000 in inheritance. Mm-hmm. They were operating the county out of inheritance. A lot of the cars, a lot of the stuff was coming out from the sheriff's budget. There was some assessor lines in there, and that was like the, I don't know, standard, whatever. Anyhow, there was some assessor lines, road lines. So anyhow, to keep the tax low. Well, she cautioned me. She says, if and when, she said, it's going to happen, the inheritance is going to go away.
All right, let me go.
Beer comes
hold
up.
On. Let me.
She will not be able to raise enough money to even operate.
Yeah. Right.
So that's when Ron Fleece was on, and we pulled everything out of inheritance, and so it was a true picture of what it cost for that department to operate.
And that's the only reason that's the only reason I I argue with myself here as to that using that inheritance money for them 10 computers slash cameras that we're looking at putting in. I mean, really, I could see that, I could justify that as an inheritance expense, but.
Except you're going to have to do that within 4 years again.
No, you won't.
And then we have
two increased
government positions. We have, well, potentially two more here. And then we have a corrections, I don't know what they call them. We have a jail manager.
Administrator.
Is that Julie?
No. Jail administrator's Tony.
Okay, jail administrator. And then we have chief deputy. We've made another fake position. We want to add more fake positions here. And, I mean, I don't know what you think about these over here, but just every time I come over here, we got somebody dallying around. I just threw a fit because I walked out twice into my shop and I saw somebody standing over by a desk. It's like, if you don't need to be here, back to work, you know. There's nobody to say that here because that's his job, to dally around. That's not a position you pay for.
I'm not overly concerned with not being able to arrest anybody either.
Me neither. If something happens, leave it to the citizens to do something.
Right. He's watching television screen all day. That's all.
He's watching his phone on the TV, or he's lollygagging.
I don't think they're even watching the television screen a lot. There's a lot of on their phones when we walk by. There's a lot of on their phones and they're laughing and joking.
I would say remove it. I know that's not our job to say that, but. If the only thing we can do is say, well, we're cutting this out. So a 0% increase isn't a 0% increase if you say, okay, it's time to remove this person. I didn't get prices back yet. They were supposed to get me prices back for security, but I doubt it's $27 an hour.
Yeah.
And you're getting $24.16.
You're right,
$24.16, but by the time you figure benefits on top of that, it's probably $36.
You guys can easily come in and go downstairs and view what's going on upstairs anytime. View the camera.
I almost did that when it was raining the other day after I talked to you. I got so mad looking at this, so I went back in and I talked to Don Monday. I mean, the more I read, then last night I think I was sitting on the couch about 2, and I was going through stuff, you know, just reading. Mm-hmm. There's some of it you can know what it is, and then the other stuff is just kind of ambiguous, but... It just seems like so many wasted funds over there, which once they're gone, there's nothing to show for it again.
Eric, and maybe you got an idea on this too, but I still have a hard time spending $10,000 taking a damn vehicle up to Omaha to have them install the equipment.
I asked them about that too. I mean, that is a lot to swallow where it's equipment we don't need in the first place.
Look at people in town that are smart, that are capable of doing this. Just because then people do it.
It's not fast enough.
No.
Or what we do.
They had an article in Lincoln Paper here maybe 2 weeks ago. Lincoln's also hired that same company now to do theirs because Lincoln had their own, like their highway department, their own mechanics doing it. Their own mechanics used to do it for nothing, didn't charge the sheriff's department. But 2 years ago, they started charging them $50 an hour because that's what the going rate was at other places. the highway department, I mean the sheriff's department, figured out now that, oh, that costs too much now. So they're getting a cheaper bid from that company than having their own people do it, charging them $50 an hour.
I bet we could bid it to somebody in Gage County and say, hey, are you guys interested in
the problem with the budget? That's the way these things work with the budget. Yeah. You know.
For $50 an hour, I bet you know, for $40 an hour, I bet we'd get some cars coming down to Beatrice or Pickerel or Adams or somewhere.
I'll bet somebody like Slim's or somebody like that could do it and do it for
Slim's or Hesterman's or Dismeyer's or, yeah. I mean, somebody.
What's her space in Odell that does stuff? I think
that'd
he's even
one.
Got, he, I think he even has him on his little committee that for looking at cars. What's, I mean, God, my mind's
there,
panic.
There must be more to this than kind of meets the eye, or it wouldn't cost $9,000. In Lancaster County, you'd have somebody doing it, wouldn't
it? I don't know.
No, I think there is something to it. It's something that takes time, and because we talked about the city, too, is how much it costs. I thought Five Star used to do that. Whatever that shop at Jean's.
Not Five Star, it was Ron.
Ron used to do it.
Well, they still
Ron
use him out at his house.
But he does a few things out of his house.
I don't know if I thought Five Star, but yeah, Ron's Automotive or whatever at Gene's place there. But I don't know, it just seems like a lot of waste, a lot of fat.
Well, I guess that's the thing, is if 10%, if we give them 10%, is that going to
run over?
Yeah, it's 10.
I'm going to vote no. I don't care what it is. I don't give a shit what it is. If somebody's leg fell off and he had to have it reattached, I'm going to say, well, you should have planned ahead.
Don, do we? I've got a question, though, when we come to vote for that. I mean,
for which part?
Let's say that the budget proposal goes forward with a 10% increase as presented today.
Okay.
And Eric then, if he wanted to vote against the sheriff's department, do we pull that out? Not saying you'd pull it out, but do we pull that out and vote on the sheriff's department separate, or does he have to vote just against the whole budget?
He would be voting against the budget, and he could state his reason that he thinks the sheriff's department's too high. We've had people vote against certain things.
But they
the
vote
budget.
Against the budget, per se, then. Not we don't do one department.
No, we don't
can
do departments.
Can I amend it, or but can you, I propose an amendment prior to?
If you're going to do that,
then
do it right now.
You have to break it all into
because
a ton
then
of
we
stuff.
Have to have a new public hearing. If there's any changes after this public hearing, we have to do the changes